Jimmy Stewart here. Want to invite you to download your free audiobook now. Just punch in audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. The fine folks at Audible have more than 75,000 titles to choose from, so there's something for everyone, even if you're an illiterate vagrant. That's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go on now, you can afford it.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios at Roundabout Tower in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Jim Hall.
I'm Eric Kritko.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 62, our weekend chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you J-Mays news. News you've missed.
Fair enough.
Thanks for tuning in. Yeah.
And we're done here. I'm going home. Every week, like a workplace gift exchange, we feign caring about our colleagues as we trade thoughtless knickknacks and awkward tidings of good cheer. In fact, on our store shopping spree, we rummage through the bargain racks at our local discount outlet for minutes in search of a cheap gift or a zen-like theme. Of course, we eventually gave up and bought ourselves a soft pretzel from the kiosk near the mall elevators. Sure, during our pursuit, we uncovered all kinds of spectacular treats and news items our coworker would have absolutely loved, but none at prices this Secret Santa was willing to pay. In the end, we'll give our colleague a box of one-size-fits-all coffee filters, probably in exchange for a crocheted trivet resembling a Portuguese man of war. So, welcome to Roundabout, everyone, episode 62, as Mr. Hall alluded to, and this is a huge deal for us. We've got to give a big thank you to Jim for agreeing to show up here.
Yeah, it was really nice
stooping
that he did
to
that.
Our level.
Yeah, well, no, I think it was. It shows a lot of merit on his part to do this.
It does. We should.
Thank you very much, Earl.
I understand you skipped your bi-monthly Mensa meeting to be here tonight. Is that true? Because that is dedication if you did.
It is. The truth is, every time I go to it, I feel like I'm surrounded by morons, imbeciles. The things they talk about are just so pointless.
Yeah.
You know, they never talk about cars.
Well, that's why we're here.
Exactly.
So you set aside Mensa, came to Roundabout. And we're thankful.
You
for
mean
that
the
joke.
Marlo Brandon, Marlon
yes,
Brando
yes.
lookalikes?
So, Jim, we are tickled to have you here, and we appreciate you showing up. So, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Glad to be here.
Eric Kritko, Mr. Rumblestrip.
See,
you're in studio again, live.
I am.
We're glad you could make it as well.
That's good to be alive.
Well, I'm glad for you, Michelle Naranjo.
That's me.
Out there in the Long Beach, no less. Did you know Jim is actually a native of SoCal?
Yes.
I did know that.
Yes. Pasadena.
Is that a town?
Yes, it is.
It's a beautiful town.
It is. Pasadena. It's the city where they have the Rose Parade. The locals call it Pasadena. It's all of the outlanders and the new money guys call it Pasadena.
Right?
No, but earlier than that.
The old part of downtown is actually very pretty.
Yeah, growing up, what's Old Town now was where there was the pet store that a friend of mine killed a monkey by giving it a habanero. Oh, yeah, he did. He really did. This guy would go and get these things, and there was a little Mexican delicatessen down in Old Town, and he would
get
a little.
Is that what they say, call them in Spanish, delicatessens?
No, but he would have this little bag, and it had like habaneros in it. They were pickled. He would just eat them. This guy could eat these, and I tried one once. It's what I imagined eating a lit cigarette was like. And we go into this place, and there's like a little spider monkey in the back, and it's going like. This and it's no, it sees somebody eating it, and so it comes up and goes like this. And Ron just takes one of these things and hands it to it. It turns down, jumps down, and the sound it made is the most horrific thing to this day. I still remember it. And it's on its back shaking. And this guy runs, "What have you done to the monkey?" And Ron says, "I just gave him one of these little chilies. You want to try one?" The guy said, "No." And if he did, he would have understood why the monkey died. I think it had a heart attack or something. It was just awful. You know, they got our parents in. It was during the summer, so you know, it was horrible. But. And it's gone. That store is gone because they couldn't keep their monkeys alive. Okay, if you have a pet store and you cannot keep the monkeys alive, that's a primate. Okay, they're going to wonder how
you're the next of kin.
That's right. Employees. What's going to happen to the employees? They're going to die the death of a thousand razors when they're fed hot chilies.
Well, Jim,
is that enough off the topic?
I am glad that you're bringing some maturity and perspective to the conversation tonight.
Well, one of the two.
Take your pick.
No. The audience will select whether it was that or just inane drivel.
I think you're going to more than make up for our regulars that are unable to make it this week. Jefferson Ross, unfortunately, he was unable to come this week. Something popped up last minute, and our Florida correspondent can't be here, as well as Stephen Chuckles Ewing. He also had some internet issues today, so unfortunately he can't join us. So we're not going to get the Autoblog perspective.
Oh,
unfortunately,
Comcast.
But we have got, and I know I say this every single week, but we have got just a stupendous show, Ben. Wouldn't you think?
That's right, Craig.
We have got just a stupendous lineup of stories. We're going to talk about some pervert out in SoCal, Jim, who is leaving nude photos on the cars of women. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Michelle, maybe we'll get some perspective on you for that. We're going to have.
What do we get on her?
We're going to.
Perspective?
We're going to.
Oh, yeah, got it. Right. Okay.
Something happened to Bernie Ecclestone. He got in a little trouble, and they're turning lemons into lemonade, as it were.
Might have happened in Brazil, you know, because that's where they tried to hold up Jensen.
Could be. We're going to continue our holiday gift guide and. Back by popular demand, another edition of The Price is Correct. So this is just an awesome show plan. This is more than a regular show. This is like the larger size sandwich when you go to a sandwich shop. It's more, you know.
That's right, Craig.
He gets it. Yes. So our theme this week, very appropriate for perhaps for the women's story, Michelle, but happy endings. Is our theme.
Meow.
Yes, I know. So, or for the vasectomy story. We'll get to that later. Eric, you have the first article here. It is coming to us courtesy of the Automotive News. Now, apparently Lincoln is potentially thinking about working on something with its MKT. What is going on and why is this a happy ending?
Well, I'm not sure about the happy ending part of it, but...
You're going out in luxury,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's your last ride.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd rather go out on a rickshaw, personally, but it's just me. Michelle just had a stroke.
She passed out. Michelle, should we call the MKT for you now?
Is that how you say it? I thought it was Lincoln Mict.
No, it's Mark T or MKT or MKIT.
Okay. So, Eric, what is Lincoln doing?
Well, apparently Lincoln has a little extra capacity available right now for the MKT and for the Flex. So looking for ways to expand their sales, expand in number and expand in length. They are
– Not in width, though. Girth.
Not so much in girth. It's got enough girth, I think. They are developing a long wheelbase platform for the car to sell not only for the livery group, the sedan to replace the town car, but also for the funeral home market.
You see, they do a lot of town car. There are a lot of town car conversions into hearses. So in that respect, it's perfect for picking up the slack.
Well, it's the last of the breed, the town car. So what's going to replace it?
Are you calling dead people slackers?
Well, the truth is they aren't very responsive when you talk to them. They really aren't. You know, it's like, what's wrong with you? You know, just get up. Don't sit there. And they never listen
to you.
Take
your clothes up in the hall.
Now, it's funny you mention this because there's something I should mention. I can't sleep in a room with a dead person in it. I can't. I just can't.
Could you drive a car with a dead person in it? Like a Lincoln MKT. What if it had the EcoBoost engine, Jim?
Well, you could make sure they slid to the back.
I know. It's got 355 horsepower. I mean, those are Clydesdales, too.
But you see, I wouldn't sleep in the car if they were in there. I couldn't do that.
Obviously.
I just couldn't do that. I cannot sleep in a room with a dead person in it.
Well, good to know.
Okay.
So if we ever get into trouble with the Mexican drug dealers, drug lords, we'll know. Eric, hearses? Stretch version? Why? Do they really? I mean, is the Lincoln MKT selling that poorly that they have to do a taffy pull?
I didn't look at the breakdown of Ford's and Lincoln sales numbers for last month or the last couple of months, Craig. But anything they can do to move units is what they'll do. Now, I always thought that the MKT would be an awesome executive vehicle and that the perfect interior for the MKT would be the one that was in the Super Chief pickup truck.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that's the most stunning interior I've ever seen for a car, ever. And in an MKT for an executive vehicle, it literally would be a four-wheeled Gulfstream.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, I can see it. It's a very niche, very specialized market, but done right, that could be great.
Mm-hmm.
As far as for the hearse market, it's actually a pretty large market. If you look at the number of
people
funeral
are always
homes,
dying, you know.
Well, yeah, it's a bit, you'll never it's run just, out of customers.
Yeah, it's not an insignificant market. It really isn't. Yeah. And the thing is, it takes a while for them to retire hearses, though, because the mileage they put on them. I'm not being funny here. They don't do a lot of miles on them.
10, 20 miles a day.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
And they don't go very fast.
And that's true. That's so, for sure. So they really don't need the EcoBoost version of this one, unless they're trying to. You know, it could be a volume hearse place that's trying to go for a number. You know, put away as many as we can in a day.
Or if they're down in the South and they have all those, like, super fat people because all they eat is deep fried everything.
It's the stroke belt.
That's true. You're right. They would need power.
Our Zach Bowman was in the heart of the stroke belt, if you guys remember.
Really?
That was a pun.
Sounds like an infomercial. The stroke belt.
No.
Women love the stroke belt, and so do men.
The MKT is built on a unibody architecture, the D platform at Ford. They can just stretch that without any troubles?
It's easy for the factory to stretch a car compared to the aftermarket doing it. Because the aftermarket ends up having to do basically a cut and shut. So you have to insert a section and someone's got to come up with a sheet metal for the section.
Mm-hmm.
But it's manageable because the truth is there were stretch Cadillacs done by a couple of limousine firms that were taking DeVilles and DTSs, which are front-wheel drive cars, and doing them into limos and hearses as well. The thing that makes this work is they're going to do that long wheelbase version. That's the enabler here.
Okay.
And it helps. My guess is it helps rationalize the business for doing the long wheelbase product. A lot of this is just, you know, we're going to do this, so what else can we do? Get as many units off as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about volume.
Yeah. V for volume.
That's right. Or Vendetta.
Well, whichever. So interesting. I have to check out the link, the stretched MKT, if and when it ever comes out to market.
Well, it'll probably be done through a third party. Be aware of that. The way that Lincoln's handled the hearses now is they do a product delivery setup car that has no – it basically has an interior trimmed in the front doors and the front seat forward and the rest of the car is basically bare metal.
Mm.
And that's it gets delivered – the hearses get delivered without trunks.
So it gets kitted out.
Right, exactly. So they
rollers just, or whatever they have back there, teak and, wood.
No, they don't even do that. No. I mean these cars – they go out of the factory just bare and bare.
Well, I mean for – they kit it out with the,
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably what they'll do here.
Okay. Well, I do like the idea of a Ford, of a Gulfstream car. That's pretty cool with a sick amount of leg room, maybe rear-facing seats. That'd be so awesome.
Wouldn't this have been great on our road trip?
Yes, because Ben wouldn't have had to been hunched in there.
He could have been...
I know. That was an awful back seat in the MKT.
No, it was
horrible.
Actually one of the best, but...
Yes, it was.
I thought it was
wonderful.
We went on a road trip for the podcast.
Right, I remember. But the thing is, that was a... the EcoBoost car, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever use the third row seat? Were you in the third row?
No, he was in the second.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So
you can't use the third row in the MKT.
I know.
Well, you can with the front seat out of the way. The second row out of the way, and you have lots of leg room.
Oh, because then you could kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
Slouch down. Yeah, that's true.
And the long wheelbase car, apparently what they're doing is they're holding the seat where it is. They're moving it back, so the seat's going to have fore and aft adjustments. Should be pretty cool. But, you know, the hearse, you could lie down on your back there and kind of cross your arms over and just...
Have a snooze.
Chill out.
Yeah, exactly. And chill out literally and figuratively. Assume room temperature, which is the better way to say dying. All the guys in the house, assume room temperature.
Speaking of dying, our next story, Jim, you've got it. It's something that race car drivers could avoid doing if they had the physics engine in a certain new video game.
Oh, you mean GT5?
Is that what it's called?
Gran Turismo 5.
Not familiar.
GT Goal.
Is that for the Wii?
No, it's not. It's for the Sony PlayStation 3.
PlayStation.
Don't know. Yeah, it's PlayStation 3, and it's – Gran Turismo in the past has had physics where the cars were driving as well as they could for what they were trying to be. But and I still to this day don't know why they didn't do damage on cars. So they had it so it was selectable, I think, on Gran Turismo 3. And you could turn the damage off because the cars acted funny when they were damaged. Mm-hmm. And then they still have tire wear and so on. Well, they've got real physics, as close to real physics as you're probably going to be able to do with the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty spectacular. And the cars now can do things they never would really do before.
Ben, you've got a video of that, right?
Oh, there's a video of this?
Well,
yes. Guns cool.
Well,
because
if you're listening to the show, go to our website, roundaboutshow.com.
Yeah.
You can hit the link in the show notes, watch the video. But basically, it's a car. It's going around the track.
Yeah, it's a GTR,
mm-hmm.
and it hops over a Lambo,
basically.
So to speak,
and it's just chilling there, driving around the track.
Yeah, that's interesting physics. But the point is that the Gran Turismo is one of these things where the physics they had in it before, like I think it was Gran Turismo 2. There's a track called Grand Valley, and in Grand Valley, there's a section where you can basically on the last turn, you don't have to do it. If you take the right line, you can go off the road. The car sort of is airborne, and it doesn't slow you down.
Hmm.
All right, it's cheating.
Just like in Mario Kart 64 on the Wario circuit, you could jump the rail and you go get a big – anyway.
it's not quite the same. You know, and they're like gazillion. They have lots of more cars in GT5 proper. Mm-hmm. They've got more tracks. Okay. Although I have.
Have you played it yet, Jim?
I have. I've done the Prelude, but I haven't done 5. I have it sitting in the house, but it's a Japanese version, so I can't run it on my machine. But
well, Michelle, do you have a PlayStation?
Are you saying damaged cars don't drive well?
No. We have Wii and Xbox 360.
Did you get the Kinect? Is Henry getting one for Christmas?
Someone is.
See, now this is a horrible thing to do because in the event they listen to the podcast, all
they don't.
No, oh, okay, all right.
Most people don't.
Oh, well, gee. Why am I here? Because I'm having a great time.
A cup of coffee, Jim.
Yes, that's right, Craig.
Oh, calm down, Jim.
That guy, what a jerk, you know? He has no idea what he's saying.
We don't want Jim to calm down.
In fact, I'm going to get more coffee.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, in that, I think that's a good segue then.
Oh.
Go help yourself, Jim. We're gonna move on to our next story. So what is this? Driver crashes something? GT5 physics?
That's the video.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool. So I have our next story, which could potentially be a happy ending. Or
something.
Well, I'll let you be the jury on that. Basically, what we've got here, ABC Channel 7 out in...
KBC.
Cab. Or is it the CBS?
Eyewitness News.
Cabs. Anyway, KABC out in Anaheim Hills, California. Michelle, are you familiar?
I am familiar with I'm familiar with this area as well.
Do you work out in the mornings in Toyon Park between 5:30 a.m. and 6:15?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, I figured, but
she could receive a little treasure.
Yes, evidently, and we're going to assume this is a man because it would be pretty creepy if it weren't. Somebody is.
It's creepy even if it's a man. Okay,
it's an order of magnitude creepier if it's not, though, Jim. Somebody is going around. Women are working out in the park in the morning, and somebody is going.
Hey.
And somebody is going around and putting nude photos on the cars.
Nude photos of
certain parts
of
the male.
Oh, all right, all right. That's what I mean. I was trying to figure out, you know, if there were nude photos of cars.
Cars don't really wear clothing.
Unpainted cars.
Is that considered nude?
I don't know. You ever seen an all polished Audi A8?
I've seen one dipped in gold or cadmium or something.
Like that.
Is that mescaline, Jim?
No.
Quaalude?
No.
Okay. Well, so yeah, people are on edge out in California over this, I guess, understandably.
I think this summarizes Orange County housewives just fine. It says, we're all just a little more careful. You don't do these things solo. You do it with a group, said Jill.
And that's Jill, and I'm making air quotes now.
Okay, so it's
really Tom.
Yeah, not really Jill, but.
No, she didn't want to use her real name. Eric, have you ever done this before?
No.
That was not a convincing answer to me, but I believe you, of course, Eric. I do. I can tell that you're just as honest as the day is long.
Let the record show that Eric Tritko mouthed no.
It's a podcast.
Oh, so I – okay, got it.
I am off probation now, so I can still, you know, still be honest.
The Patriot Act.
Yes.
He was smuggling drugs again. Same time in 6 months. First it was racketeering, now this.
Oh.
No, they actually did search me at the border for being a mule, so that's not untrue.
Because that ranger.
Well.
You know, if you wouldn't, when they say, you know, how are if you
they
wouldn't
go. The not the rubber glove kind of search, but they did take out everything in my car.
Well, you know, this is a good segue, guys. I think.
To what?
Animals. Michelle, you are an animal lover. And our next story deals with our bovine allies.
It does. And I'm not quite sure exactly where this happened, somewhere near a vacation place that a couple was going on a anniversary trip in their minivan. But a cow, ironically, named Michelle.
Was it?
You know, it's always good to name your food.
Apparently, this cow was a top breeder that had been lent to the ranch by some breeders, and she was a breeding cow.
It was breeding at the time it fell?
No, she wasn't. But I'm sure she was being stalked by some of the bulls. So she broke out of her pen and took a run towards a cliff, which...
Rapist cows, is that what it was?
No, but they had photos of cow parts, you know, that were going to put sort of all around her collar.
So what happened to this, to Michelle, Michelle?
She jumped off of a cliff and fell 200 feet and landed on the front of a couple's minivan.
Is she going to be okay?
They were going away for the weekend, a couple. No, she had an unfortunate demise, but I think it was at her own hand.
But a delicious demise, nonetheless.
She's to serve Michelle, as it were. You know, it's a cookbook. Sorry.
Craig has never seen an episode of The Twilight Zone.
No?
I don't know about pop culture.
It's not pop culture. It's television, okay?
Exactly.
And in Japan, it was called Mystery Zone.
Mystery Zone.
And it was so weird to see Rod Serling speak fluent Japanese, and it didn't line up with what he was saying. It was horrible.
Is she going to be okay, Michelle?
Well, the couple was fine, but the cow, she dead.
Yeah, she's delicious, though. She's wrapped in plastic now. I wonder if they took her to the market in an MKT hearse.
And when they show her her pictures, I really don't think that she was the kind of cow that people will eat because she was quite lean and made for breeding.
Mm. You know? So it's tough. They can make jerky then.
No, see, she wasn't a meat cow. Like, she was a mommy cow.
A mommy cow. Probably several hundred times.
And she wasn't very old.
Oh.
This is kind of like the Runaway Bride.
Except
I don't remember in the Runaway Bride the cliff fall myself. Maybe did I see a different version?
The Humane Society approved version.
Mm. Henry's sitting here in the background going, "This is horrible."
Meat is murder, Henry, even if it's beef. Just keep that in mind.
No, I thought that was a album by the Smiths.
It might have been the Smiths, you know. That they fit in the UTM category.
So, poor cow, poor minivan. Was it? I couldn't tell what kind it was. Was it a Traverse or a Terrazza, perhaps? But it held up very well.
Traverse isn't a minivan.
I meant the Venture.
Venture.
Yes.
Well, it was an adventure for Michelle. But the thing is, how do you land on the front of a minivan? The hoods are sort of on the short side and slope down. I mean, you know.
They were very
lucky. It's like good comedy.
All right.
What would it have been? Is that going to be a new government roof crush standard?
A cow, the bovine test? Falling cow. But I understand there's a big debate within the auto industry as to whether it should be 200 feet or 150 feet.
Well, does it reach terminal velocity in 150, so 200 feet would just be unnecessary?
It would depend on if the cow's tumbling or not. So the test is going to be the hardest part. And let me tell you, at NHTSA, when they do the testing with the actual before they develop the analog, they're going to have really cheap burgers there. It's like when the CIA was developing shellfish toxin that at Dr. Stanley Gottlieb's lab there, they had lobster on the menu for about 4 months. And all of a sudden it stopped. It's like, why no more lobster? Oh, never mind.
Well, airplanes have frozen turkeys shot at their windscreens. Now cars will have to have cows falling off a cliff. Right?
Yeah,
it's animal testing.
You know what? We should actually have my stepfather on sometime to talk about when he was in the Air Force and they were dropping cows into the jungles. And I think it was Vietnam because they were trying to make it so that, you know, they could make good use of the cow. The troops could make good use and they'd have like all the parts, right? And they started dropping these
cows. They can make maracas out of the ankle bones or something.
And they would splat. Yes. So then they started giving them parachutes and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Air Force that gives a parachute to pretty much anybody that goes in an airplane would think that a cow wouldn't need one. That's big. What the hey, you know? It's got those bumper things on the front. If we send the female cows down, that'll take care of it. It'll be fine.
Right. They'll bounce.
Yeah, they'll bounce. It's no big deal. In fact, you got to make sure when you drop it to put the plane in a climb because there's a better than even chance.
Brisket's a tough piece of meat.
And that would tenderize it. So be ready for the GI. You know,
cows are not bumbles. They don't bounce.
Are you you know, I think dropping from certain heights, anything, it bounces.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know.
Potentially. But Bernie Ecclestone did not bounce, evidently, when he got into a little kerfuffle.
Is that what a kerfuffle is? Because I've heard the phrase and I've never known. But
getting the Ben, can you bleep it, the shit kicked out of you. Oh, God. Such
no profanity.
Is that a kerfuffle?
I don't know.
Because now we can see what a kerfuffle does. That's the most interesting thing of all.
Especially with some extra Photoshop work.
You mean they didn't actually do that to him for the photo? I mean, Bernie's a committed guy. Or he should be.
He should be. Yeah, that's what to say.
Well, why is this a happy ending? Eric? And what's going on?
Well, like everything else that Bernie seems to have done in the last 40 years, he takes a steaming pile of crap and turns it into a large pile of money for his own pocket.
Oh, no. Others are enriched by Bernie.
Enriched by his presence?
Well, and buy money from him, too. Yeah, okay, you know, right. The guys he used to hang out with, there are a bunch of Southside crazies, Southside of London. But Ron Dennis is from the same group.
Yeah.
You know, and they
well, yeah, I've read the Piranha. What the hell is that? Swimming with the Piranhas?
Yeah.
That book? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an awesome book.
Yeah.
If you want to know about the old days of F1, Swimming with the Piranhas?
I think it is Swimming with the Piranhas, yeah.
It's an awesome book.
But this is amazing that this is an actual ad that Bernie apparently signed off on, right? I mean, they didn't get this photo out of – it's not public domain, a picture of Bernie like that.
Right. Yeah, so he got mugged in London, I believe, and they say they took £200,000 worth of jewelry, so about $300,000 worth of jewelry, which –
Good
he's worth a couple million
of jewelry because that'd be like
what man wears that amount of jewelry?
Oh, a couple of watches. You know, you wear two watches, you got that kind of money. Now, why you're wearing two watches raises
two
the question.
Time zones.
Just in and of itself, you can have one
Does
watch.
He have a cell phone?
He might have had a Virtu cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the Virtu has its dedicated network that seems to work only in places where there's money in the air. that any other place in the earth, they don't work.
He needs two watches to keep his mistresses and all the different time zones straight.
Mrs. Eccleston is just a charming human being.
Which one?
So
the original one or the recently divorced?
They're never going to find her in that crawl space.
So anyway, Bernie decided to enrich himself, and one of the people who F1 has paid Bernie a ton of money to be associated with F1. And you told me how to pronounce it.
Hublot.
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 Hublot, yes.
Hublot.
Hublot.
For our American listeners, Hublot.
Nice watch. Hublot, yeah. They're nice watches.
They're yeah.
Not as nice as that.
I think this is an awesome idea just because it's so brilliant. Most people would have this happen to them and they'd hide away and they'd, you know.
Well, see, the thing about Bernie is you don't know if he's brilliant or just mad or both.
No, he's brilliant. He really is. The guy is brilliant because he can take almost any situation and find a capital upside on it.
Yeah.
You know?
I jokingly said when I saw this, Ferrari and Mercedes were really pissed that he changed the engine rules to 1.6 turbos because they didn't want it. And they had some friends go, you know, they helped the judge find his wallet. Rocco and Moose went over to help the judge find his wallet. So anyways.
Yeah, they're using his getting the crap kicked out of him. I'm assuming he got the crap kicked out of him.
Craigie, you need to find out who does his eyebrows for him.
Perhaps Rex Roy.
Now, I do not know who Rex Roy is.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Well, he's one of our circle of colleagues.
Rex Roy. So his name is actually King King.
Huh?
Yes, yes Rex yes. Latin and Roi is the French word for king.
Mm-hmm.
So this is disturbing. On many levels, this is really starting to bother me. It's as though someone has put itching powder over my skin.
Well, considering that he lives in Grosse Pointe, does that surprise you?
Grossy pointy. Okay, yes. Now it has some context.
Long story short, couple of Sasquatches on his forehead.
Yeah, he got. It looks like he got hit pretty hard.
Yeah,
but you're right. We have no idea how much Photoshop was used in that. That you know.
That is beautiful eyeshadow.
Michelle has that kind of eyeshadow.
Now,
she falls down the stairs.
But we've come back to the other Michelle. See, we've come back to the other Michelle we talked about.
She fell?
No. You could take part of the Michelle that fell and he could put it on his eye to heal it, you see?
Yes.
It all, this is a strange,
our
weird.
Our theme this week is Michelle.
It's happy endings with beef, which is somehow very disturbing to me.
It's all Michelle all the time.
The Chop House in Ann Arbor. The Chop House in Ann Arbor tomorrow. I hope to have a happy ending there as well.
Well, in other happy ending news, our next story comes to us courtesy of Miss Book. What is it? MSNBC.com. Out of Seattle, Washington. Now, here's a crazy story for you. This elderly couple were driving to dinner to meet their son. And it's raining out at night because it is Seattle. And the husband's driving in their minivan, and he gets turned around. So he gets lost. He tries to turn around, and he ends up driving down a boat launch ramp into the water.
He was following his GPS a little too closely.
Old people, you know, they're a menace.
There's going to be more of this, too.
His son is waiting at the restaurant. He's waiting, waiting, waiting. They're
not
there.
Is that one of the seaside restaurants, and they see the minivan float by?
Potentially. I don't know if it quite floated away, but the son calls them, and they're like, "Help us!" I don't know how their cell phones work, but son finds out they're in trouble.
They're not
drove
Virtus.
Clear or
they're
iPhones
because
they were their jitterbugs.
Look at those big keys.
Just call. I'll add that contact to your list right now, Mrs. Jensen. Jitterbug. All right. So, they call them. They call. I'm going to get a jitterbug, Ben, FYI. I was thinking iPhone 4.
No. Jitterbug. It's not you. A jitterbug is you, especially with that sport coat.
Do you like it?
There's a perfect pocket for it there, too.
It's got the sparkles.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the son finds out that the parents are in trouble, so he drives out to find them and help them and goes down the same boat ramp as they do. Idiocy runs in the family, or was the weather just bad?
No, I think he was really trying to get as close as he could to help his dad.
Okay.
You know, and there's this thing. It's you know, there are these reactions. When it's your family, you know, you're highly motivated.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm distracting you?
No. No, the buttons on the sleeve, or the fact that the sport coat has like 67 buttons on it.
You've been to Frankenmuth, Jim.
do you know the evil secret of Frankenmuth?
It's a beautiful brochure.
Frankenmuth. What?
They put something in the chicken?
No, under the main street, there is the central kitchen, and they all have the same – the fried chicken is made all in one central kitchen, and they have like pneumatic chutes to shoot.
Like the at the bank.
Exactly. Absolutely correct. Same thing. And it's so they, everybody says, oh, I like this place more. This chicken is better than the other. It's all the same, you know.
Oh, Mrs. Franken, it's that German efficiency.
It is.
They didn't almost win two world wars by accident.
Well, Jim. They didn't almost win two world wars. There's no such thing as almost winning a war. It's like almost. Almost only counts in three things.
When you drive off into the water.
No.
Okay.
No, no, because you're in the water when that happens. Okay, you're in the water. Okay, almost only counts in horseshoes,
mm-hmm.
hand grenades, and atomic war.
So the son drove out to help
10 miles. That's close enough, right? Radiation.
It's fine.
So who rescued they? Now, did they all survive? That's the thing I'm concerned about.
Well, that's
about.
The happy ending.
Oh, yes. They survived.
Yeah. And, not much of a news story, but you know.
There's another happy ending for our industry.
How was Michelle involved?
They will be buying new minivans. Okay? And they won't – see, two minivans have been taken out of the pool so far in this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle took one out.
Mm-hmm.
And then – Larry,
waterlogged, yeah.
Yeah, basically. What, do we know what kind of car the son was in?
So is Ray LaHood going to require flotation devices now in all cars?
Only minivans. Only minivans. And then those will be the ones that are also have to be tested for the dropping cow.
It was William and Tammy Forsyth, Everett, Washington, drove into Puget Sound Wednesday night.
See, I think
how
this
we were able to get out of there, I will never know, William said, 80 years old.
This is a plea for help.
Yes, it is. Save the elders.
No, I mean,
you can sponsor a geriatric for just pennies a day.
They've had
the food and education they need.
They've had a relatively quiet life because, quote, in 58 years of marriage, they've said they've never endured anything quite like this. Well, if that's the most dramatic thing you've had in 58 years of marriage, that's a pretty.
Yeah, you've been pretty isolated. Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. You know,
William goes on to say that's the last time he skips dialysis before driving.
And as a testament to Chrysler, he said, our van was like a coffin.
You know, I don't know why they always insisted on that red velour interior. And it was just awful. I could never understand why you wanted it, but now it makes perfect sense. You're ready.
Seats.
You're ready.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Well, the bucket seats are important in the water, okay?
True.
Because they could
true.
Use
you
the
can bail out.
Bail out. Absolutely. You know, all of this is all about opportunism.
In the market, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make and do with what you've got. Which was a theme a few weeks back, wasn't it? Make and do?
Sure.
If it wasn't,
Craig.
It should have been. You think NHTSA is going to require flotation standards now? External airbags. If you drive off a pier in Washington State, you can still float and not die.
No. I think they're starting to look at things like the Have Mercy gas charge steering column.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically has a compressed air cylinder. If you're in an accident, instead of the airbag not going off, this thing hurls the steering column into your chest quickly to finish things. This is a way around some of the complications of healthcare. You know?
It's a get out of jail free card, as it were, except in the form of a lethal steering column.
Well, it's you know,
yes.
Get in the coffin free.
Yeah.
Or sooner.
Fill in the coffins. Yeah.
I kept thinking because we've had two things about the Northeast and Seattle, the Seattle area. In Seattle, they have this section where it's houses built on pontoons, basically. Mm-hmm. They're small houses.
They have floating bridges, too.
And I always thought, if you
They must be fairly secured because I can see a bunch of drunk college kids going out there and go, hey, let's cut the cord and let, it float into the bay.
They're in South Salinas also.
Oh, South Salinas. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Those are residential houseboats, and it's just very weird where they're multi-story ones. It's like, no, I don't think so. Sorry, no, I don't think so. No.
Well, happy ending at least. Nobody died. We're glad for that.
Although
it is funny because now they're going to be buying new minivans, like you said, Jim. In other happy ending news, Michelle, you've got a story about vasectomies or something.
Well, this is kind of like unbridled happy ending, isn't it? When you can get a vasectomy and win a nano, and I don't mean an iPod nano. I mean a Tata nano.
Oh, see, there you go. This is cross-marketing at its finest.
It's
hunka hunka burning love.
Yeah. it's one hot car.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, what is going on in the India, Michelle?
That's right. You hate anything resembling puns.
In the Indias, they're trying to get residents of the city of Bhopal to male residents.
Doubt and kill all the people.
Is that redundant when you say male residents get vasectomies?
Yeah, there is a certain redundancy to that.
I thought so. But
not a lot, just a certain redundancy.
But they have a goal of getting 24,000 men sterilized, as it were.
So cleaned
and
up,
only
right?
8,000 have taken up the procedure so far in their two-year goal. And so they're giving away Tato Nano, motor scooters, televisions, washing machines, DVD players, and cash.
It's like The Price is Right, but you get your junk cut off.
Yeah, well, it's the infamous, you know, that danger price game they have on The Price is Right.
Blinko!
Yeah, the danger price always worries me.
So... that's got the other segue sound effect, Ben. You haven't been playing that one this week. I'm a little...
Well, that's when things get kind of awkward
later on.
Awkward?
Yes.
Let me tell you, awkward. It's going to get the vasectomy thinking that the Tata Nano is part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding out it's a contest and they give you steaks. Now, first of all, you're a Hindu, so there's some problems with that, okay? I mean, this is just not a very pretty picture in my mind. I'm sorry.
What is this Omaha?
Yeah. I don't know Omaha.
It's like a whole different version of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh.
First prize, nano. Second prize, steak knives. Third prize, well, the knife slips. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and I understand this from a marketing standpoint.
How? They're trying to limit their market now?
No.
They only sold 900 of them last month.
Well, and they're trying to increase the market penetration of the Nano. And the best way to do this is
well, Tata.
Well, Tata is, yeah. And so you can see why Tatas would be important in increasing the market penetration of vasectomies as well. So this is all working towards something, all right?
Well, some people may hope that this plan gets aborted, Jim.
Should
the Tatas really carry this full term? Or should they let it gestate a little while?
If you have ever seen a Tata Nano in person.
I've driven one.
All right. Then you know that it was sort of let go before it was finished, okay? You know, there's certain things they forgot to do on it, okay?
A llama, they can spontaneously.
Yeah, exactly. But Michelle,
a Tata
please.
Pretty much renders you unmanly, right?
Not if you're on a scooter, though. It's
because think about it.
I mean, in Portuguese, it's the slang for, you know, breasts.
Well, not just Portuguese. English, too.
That's a second language for Michelle, Jim.
No, what I'm talking – I mean English.
What's that?
I'm not talking about American. I'm talking about English.
Oh, you mean American.
No, British.
American.
The Queen's
American.
English.
We would look at that. This is that whole thing about relativity, that we would look at that and say, oh, well, you're not a man if you drive a Tata Nano. But if the alternative is a three-wheeled scooter with five members of your family on it, trust me, you are very manly behind the wheel of a Tata Nano.
A tuk-tuk.
Exactly. So, but it's that whole thing, you know, and then in Portugal, would you be driving a Seat possibly?
Mm-hmm.
No, a Portuguese-built Volkswagen minivan.
Portuguese man of war.
Portuguese man of war. You can't ride those. Well, you can. You'd be probably killed by it. And it would not be a happy ending. It would
be a good name for a vehicle in Portugal.
I don't know.
With
I think
battleship guns on the side?
No. Somehow I keep thinking it would remind me of you know, calling a car a matador in Spain. Because in addition to what matador means, it also means murderer.
Oh. Ben, where's the – it's another fun fact.
Olé. Yes. Oh.
The more you know. I mean
– oh, yeah, I don't have that.
Gee whiz.
When you've got to cue him verbally for the sound effects, something's wrong.
He's not on his A game tonight.
No?
He's got the sugars.
So oh, that, well, can you drool onto that cardboard and release
that's
the...
right.
Yeah.
So they just have, they have to sell this differently in that if you have a vasectomy, you have all the happy endings you want and... Nothing ever grows.
No consequences.
Yes.
Would you take him up on this offer, Eric? I mean, this might be a step up from the Ranger. I don't know.
They're worth well, there's a problem with that.
Yes.
Yeah. I've BTDT. Already...
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Been there, done that. I figured that out. That, that would be the problem.
But Jim, would you?
For a Tata Nano, no. Cadillac CTS-V coupe, I'd think about it.
What about, say, 2004 Taurus with the Vulcan V6?
What color?
Split the difference.
What color?
Like, I don't know the specific white color, but we'll say the no. Like the, no. The dark blue.
No,
color.
But it would depend if it had the red velour interior. You know, I could die in it. So
this die is a happy man.
A happy man, absolutely. So yeah, no. It would have to be a more serious automobile than that.
Yeah. Okay.
And a CTS-V isn't beneath my station.
You have many years of breeding left, Jim.
Oh, I hope non-productive. I'm not ready for the whole concept of. And when they're graduating from high school, you'll be 70 years old. It's like, oh, for the love of God, no. Hey, let's play catch. No.
Well, Michelle, that is quite a happy ending story, I must say.
It's happy for some.
Would you be happy by that?
Well, let's put it this way. Michelle, if Craig were to get a vasectomy and you get a Tata Nano in exchange, would you think that's a good deal?
I think that's a fantastic deal. I'd make him drive the Nano.
Oh, that's doubly demeaning.
So that is the news portion of the show. Thank you guys for presenting all these stories. We're going to take a quick break here to pimp our Roundabout Emporium site. But before when we get back from that, we're going to get to the blind spot story of the week. A little tidbit about the Volkswagen NMS. Has it been
a neue midsize sedan?
Jawohl, Herr Hall.
It should be, I guess, technically neue Mittelklasse Limousine.
Mittelklasse Limousine.
That would be NML.
Yeah. So we will get to that, and I'm sure you have some riveting insights on the car, Jim.
Just concerns about what it means for Volkswagen in North America, and none of it good.
We will also get to our holiday gift guide to wrap up December, and another edition of The Price is Correct, so don't go anywhere because we have a wonderful show still planned for you today. In the meanwhile, though, I think it is appropriate to talk about the Roundabout Emporium.
Shill those wares. Shill them. Shill like you've never shilled before.
If you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, go ahead, type that in the browser right now. I will wait. I'm not speaking directly to you, Jim. I'm sorry. Oh. I was just pointing. I like to gesticulate as I'm talking.
Point into the microphone, Craig. They need to hear you. There we go. Mm-hmm.
Roundaboutshow.com. If you go on the website, look on the right-hand side of the page in the sidebar. You'll see at the bottom there a little green, a little dollar sign with a green box. Click on that. That'll take you to the Roab Emporium.
It's a revelation. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got a hit.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. That's
we have all kinds of great stuff here. All kinds of great wares you can purchase for a loved one. And you know the holidays are coming up, right, Michelle? If that Xbox Kinect
was there.
Where'd she go?
She told me she had to run off and take care of the plumber.
Mule Pucky.
While we were doing
our ad. It's been 2 weeks.
Yes, I know. Jim, I think it's going on like three.
I think there's something going on behind the scenes.
No,
you know
I think
what
the plumber is just making a lot of money. You know, he comes there and says, you need me to check these over here.
I got a Nano, if you know what I mean. So, all kinds of great stuff. T-shirts with the Roundabout logo. Hoodies. We got to get one for Steven. Old man Ewing.
That's true.
We get travel coffee mugs. Beer Stein, Jim. I know how you like to imbibe heavily
on
weeknights.
I like martinis. When you guys do the proper martini glass, you know, I'll be the first to get a set.
You would?
The 5 ounce glass?
Hmm?
The 5 ounce glass?
A proper martini is actually 4 ounces.
Oh, 4 ounces?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes. Because you can have a couple of those and you're still okay. But these damn 8 ounce martinis they serve at Morton as well.
Appletinis? Is that your varietal, Jim?
A martini. Gin. Vermouth. A martini.
And vermouth as in wave the cork of
no.
The.
No!
Oh, you actually like a little.
Medium wet. Hendrix. Okay. Noilly Pret vermouth. Glass rinsed with Cointreau, anchovy olive.
Unfortunately, we do not have any martini glasses or martinis yet.
Put them on the list.
In the Royal Emporium. We do have stickers, Jim. Stickers.
I could put them over my eyes.
You could, and then go for a drive.
And that would be a happy ending.
You hit that bus full of orphans and send it over a cliff into a minivan. I don't know. I'm speaking hypothetically.
Yes.
But all kinds of great stuff. Ben, were we thinking about doing a hoodie with some of the Stephen Ewing artwork at all?
I think so.
I mean, there was
certainly thinking about
our good
it.
Our good friend Mirko had done one, Old Man Ewing, that we could certainly put on there.
And then you did Rabbi Jewing.
Stephen J. Ewing.
Yeah.
Rabbi Jewing. Yeah. He says, don't go outside with wet hair.
What about the...
I'd love to be able to go outside with wet hair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The gazelle's
just
Prius.
That awkward.
Fail sound effect, man.
Mary has died of typhoid. So, all
happy
kinds
ending.
Yes. She never shut up in the wagon, you know? All kinds of great stuff in the Roundabout Emporium. Again, just go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. Hit the sidebar. There's a little button there. Check it out for yourself. Get some great gifts for the holidays. We would appreciate that very much.
Here's an insider tip. If you're too lazy to go to the website and then click over, you could actually go to cafepress.com/roundaboutshow. I know I blew Craig's mind.
There wasn't much to splatter, but it's everywhere.
It was a happy ending for
us. Yes, it was. So, yeah, check it out. We appreciate if you go there. And now I think we can get to our blind spot story of the week.
We'll do that.
When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a story about an automotive unicorn of sorts, as it were, kind of, maybe. Volkswagen's hotly, or arguably anticipated, NMS, short for New Midsize Sedan. So, we click on the link here. It's over hosted on the Autoblog. They've got what is evidently a spy photo of the car. And Michelle, you just summed it up very well, I think. Are we ready to go to the holiday gift guide now? So, Michelle, you must not particularly like, assuming this is the spy shot of the car, this is the vehicle. I'm going to say yes. But you're not fond of it, are you?
It's really boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're saying it makes a Toyota Camry look exciting?
The Toyota Camry actually has a little more style than this thing does. Look at the front fender of a Camry. It's a pretty neat piece of surfacing. Mm. But this is just terrifying to me.
Well, it's the new beige.
Yeah, in any color.
The Germans usually have flavor and like they stand for something. This is nothing. I don't understand. There's a problem here.
Volkswagen's chasing volume, plain and simply. They want to sell a bunch of cars. And they looked and said, you know, in the midsize market, you've got Toyota selling 440,000, 390,000 to 400,000 Accords. In a good year, you had 290,000, 300,000 Impalas. So midsize market's huge. And their midsize entry functionally was the Passat. And if you say midsize car and you start asking what kind of car you're going to get, Volkswagen wasn't even on the list. And they realized to be there, they have to have a properly sized car. It has to be mid-sized.
Was the Passat too small?
Yeah,
I always considered that in the same class.
It's too small. It's too small and it's too expensive.
Yeah, especially when you consider an Accord inside is basically a large car.
Now, you know, the Accord, now I won't get into the fact
that it got stung by a bunch of bees and swelled up.
Yeah, but the point is the car is too small and it's too expensive. But what they're doing makes sense from a marketing standpoint and a product positioning standpoint, but it makes sense over a 10 or a 15-year period. Because here's the problem with it. I want a mid-sized car. What's on my list? Toyota, Chevy, Honda, Ford, maybe Chrysler, maybe Mazda, Nissan, and then suddenly there ain't no Volkswagen on the list. So they have to, first of all, get people to consider it as a mid-sized car.
Build a brand, basically.
They have to build a brand. At the same time, they have a product, and you can see the new Jetta is somewhat underwhelming compared to its predecessor.
Somewhat?
Well, but understand why. It was making room for this car.
Yeah.
They are artificially tweaking their product range to make room for the NMS. Here's the problem with that. The Jetta is their most popular selling car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to buy a Jetta. I see the new Jetta. I'm underwhelmed. Am I going to get an NMS? No, it's probably too big. So for a while, you devastate. You don't get the buyers to buy the midsize car in, and you damage your positioning with your traditionalists and loyalists. So until you get the new buyers, you're going to see product sales down for a while. Now, they have things like the Tiguan, which is selling pretty well. They have other products to help pick up the slack, but this is actually going to be highly problematic for them for 5 to 7 years.
We're going to see a Stuka on the graph. Right?
You're going to see a drop. Yeah. You're going to see a drop. There's no doubt about it. And the irony is that if it works, you get to make this work, you got to be committed to do it for 10, maybe 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're committed to it now and they're doing the right stuff on the product, for this product, they've heard the Jetta to do it. And the real question is, what are they going to call it?
The NIMS.
Well, but one proposal was call it Passat and don't import the Passat.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Euro the way it had been, that makes some sense because the Passat is really – it's a tough car to sell here. But the problem is because we have this worldwide interweb, okay, everybody knows this ain't a Passat. Yeah, it's called the worldwide interwebs, and it was invented by politicians that are trying to make our life better and to give us all a happy ending.
Isn't there a Desert Wind that they haven't used for a name that they could tag onto this?
There
Dust
is,
Devil.
But well,
vacuum.
Yeah, it's actually called the Funaluzuts, and it's a bad name for a car. You know, I've said there's no such thing as a bad name for a good car, except maybe Monkey Puss is a name
or
can't use.
The Phone. But the German northern wind that rolls over the Alps and causes hangovers.
But
at least what they say.
The bottom line is that they've got a problem if they try to sell it in lieu of the Passat. Even though this is going to devastate Passat sales, or it's going to force them to price the Passat up where you could used to be able to buy Audi. So it's a weird strategy. If they're committed to it long term, they can make it work. But we're talking about seriously long term and putting a lot of money in it over that time.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if this is the car, it ain't going to sell on its styling, okay?
Well, it's not ugly.
It's going to be that Fender audio system that they're putting into it. Yeah. Comes with a quarter-inch jack. You just plug your Stratocaster in and you're ready to have a party.
You bring the party.
Are there still quarter-inch jacks?
Look right there, Jim. Come on.
Look at that audio
right
board
in front of you.
That thing's old.
It's three months ago.
Well, then I'm sorry, Ben. They saw you coming because it's not made out of plasteel or any other organic compound.
Is that why the USB jack is just sort of taped on?
Yeah, I think so. I think it doesn't go into anything, does it?
No.
Yeah, but it looks good.
Oh. They said it was high tech.
Cardboard engineering is a new thing.
They said it was tech.
Yeah. This is full of tech.
Good enough for me. Here's my money.
So I think
I deal with Apple normally.
NMS is going to be a problem initially.
But I think we're all in agreement here. It's pretty dull.
It's boring.
Does it have to be boring?
At one point, it does. Mid-sized cars that are highly styled have a tendency to lose market potential because the whole point is you want a car that somebody can see in it what they want to buy. It sounds screwy, but it's like – yeah, the houses that sell the most are not Frank Lloyd Wright modern interpretations of that. That's a little too polarizing. And higher volume means you want a little bit more – less stated. Let's put it that way. There's a point at which you jump the shark doing that and you make the car basically invisible. Pontiac did with the G6. The Grand Am was a car that, let's face it, was overstyled. But it was Pontiac's highest selling vehicle and everybody knew what it was. So they replaced it with a G6 where they cleaned it up to the point where if one was gray and drove past you, you didn't know there was a car near you.
I mean you had the washboards on the side of the Grand
but
Am.
But like them or not, the point is that you knew what it was. So here they did this car that was understyled and you have to have some presence. Now it's got the new Volkswagen face on it, sort of. The car we're looking at least.
Yes, the NMS.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I'm not sure that that's what it is, but that's neither here nor there. I hope it isn't. But.
Well, it's got like a Chevy Impala rear window there on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That's disturbing to me.
Yep. No.
No?
It's got six windows. You know, they didn't – it's a sixth light. They wanted to do that. First of all, the problem with styling is that ultimately it's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And you've got to have a vehicle to
– Sebring is hot. No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Did he say the Sebring is hot?
I was hoping that was sarcasm, but you never know with Craig.
Craig. You better check the tape, Ben.
Are you blind, Craig?
Jim,
yes.
I don't think that's a funny question.
How many fingers am I not holding up?
Don't ask me these questions, all right? I'm trying to host a show.
All right, let's roll it back, see if Craig said that.
The Sebring is hot.
Oh, gosh.
Is that what I was supposed to say?
Yeah, that was it.
Subjective styling.
Design is subjective. And the truth is, if they made it too wild, they're going to lose customers that way. They won't draw them in. They will draw some in. But it's going to be a tough sell for them.
Sonata.
Sonata is actually a pretty good example. The Sonata has a lot of surface excitement on it. Okay, it really does. And there are people I know that love it. My concern about the Sonata is that it won't age well. Yeah, that's my biggest concern about it. I like it now because it stands out. You see it? There's a Sonata. The Sonata Hybrid?
Well, if they got rid of that Chrysler emblem on the nose, it would be a lot better looking.
The point about the Sonata Hybrid is you know it's the hybrid.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. It has presence.
I'm saving the planet, guys. Look at hybrid.
Yeah. Look at me. Look at me.
This is a hybrid. Look at me. Look at me. I'm driving a hybrid.
I got one for everything, Jim.
We've been doing this for a year, but
I know you record everything. I dread to think how my voice will appear when I'm not here.
Oh, just you wait.
Stay on target.
I should have got that one, Ben. That when I brought that up, it bumped Daily back by at least 2 hours. I think. Now, Jim, just stay on target, all right?
Yeah, I'll do what I
can. Just a small exhaust port.
Yeah.
So, boring, but
hopefully
we'll
it'll have the good powertrains.
Not the 2 liter single overhead cam.
Not the 2.5 liter 5.
That's a terrible engine too.
I don't know why they even sell that thing.
But there's a version of it that's spectacular.
Is that the one in a Volvo?
No, it's the one in the TTRS. Absolutely an astonishing engine in every way, shape, or form. It's the perfect engine for the car. The noise it makes is great. It's a great sounding 5, but it's the only decent version of that engine. And it is a spectacular engine. And if they put that in this car, that would be fine, but they won't because the engine's so bloody expensive. And the truth is the VR6, I think, is a very good engine. It's just that it's not an especially efficient engine when you look at engines for that displacement.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully it'll be a happy ending, though, although probably not.
It might be. If they're willing to wait 15 years, they could have a very happy ending in 15 years.
Exactly.
Where will Kaiser Piek be then?
Go buy a CC.
Oh, God. Well, at this point, I think we can move on to our holiday gift guide.
I hear cheer in the air.
Are those carolers?
Get out of here!
Get off my yard!
Just some stuff on the window, though. I'm not entirely sure what that is. Somebody had a...
This isn't even California.
Treasure. Mountains of treasure.
So, the last few weeks, Jim, if you haven't been listening, which you probably haven't... We have been doing what is known as a holiday gift guide to bring our listeners up to speed, to let them know some of the good gifts that are available for the holidays that they can get the car lovers in their lives. So we've highlighted a few things here. I put one on the list here, the Eastwood catalog. Are you familiar?
Yes. Lots of stuff in the Eastwood catalog. I mean, lots of stuff.
You want a sandblaster. You want a welder. You want paint.
You want to refinish your floor for your garage. They got all that stuff. Yeah. And cabinetry? Oh. I mean, like for toolkit, it's an impressive catalog.
And the website is very easy to use. A lot of times, you go to a website, you have to search, or they won't have pictures of some things randomly, and it just doesn't work well. This is brilliant.
It's not available.
Exactly. Or you get some. You'll see the little thumbnail. You'll click on it. It'll be a larger version of the thumbnail, so you can't even see what it is because it's all gritty and.
Or it's the same size thumbnail in a bigger window.
Exactly.
Those are the ones I love.
Exactly. So Eastwood catalog, all kinds of great stuff, especially if you're like rebuilding a car. You can get paint. You can get
like
body fillers.
Like a 1936 Ford Forder.
Potentially. Yeah.
What did you get from Eastwood when you were building your special garage?
Actually, nothing.
Nothing? Oh.
Purchased it all local because I like
what
to support the
testimony.
Economy.
What a testimony.
But the Eastwood catalog is a great catalog. I like to support the local economy.
I am be supporting them.
Okay.
Will be.
Okay.
Once I purchase the necessary paints and fillers and everything else. So, but my friend has purchased many things from here. He swears by them and absolutely loves the site. So that was a good enough recommendation for
So this
me.
Is the gift that keeps on giving.
And giving. And
say a command.
Michelle!
Market? Yes, darling.
You have the next... I don't even know how to transition from this.
No, you don't, do you?
It's our transition sound effect, and you know what that means. Michelle.
Yeah?
You've got the next story?
I do. The next gift is the anti-sleep pilot, which sounds a bit like texting and driving, but it is a little gadget that you put on your dashboard that will ask you a series of questions, and you have to input into this teeny tiny little... It looks like one of those... What are those things called that you stick places that make things smell better?
Ben, why don't you tell us?
I don't know what those things
are. Your brother did something to your office.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what they're called.
Glade stick and smell?
I don't know.
Yeah, those little things. Yeah, so it looks like that little disc that sort of mounts
that
on your...
thing.
So there's no distracted driving there when it asks you, you know, in metric tons, what is the annual output of bauxite ore from the continent of Australia?
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
It's sort of like a hockey puck.
It's a circular argument.
Right?
There is no answer.
Yes, it's like a hockey puck that takes your answers and monitors how quickly you answer to measure your fatigue. Which I might buy one of these for my nephew, who seems to – he's had two really bad accidents because he's fallen asleep. Yeah,
the other problem too.
Narcolepsy issue.
Yeah. Who said it would kill you if we found out? But anyway.
Oh, wait. That's not the right thing.
No. Michelle is not getting the reference, I don't think.
This is terrifying.
What? The anti-sleep – you wouldn't – you don't
– No.
See, it's actually an airline skipper – that ride shotgun with
remember,
you.
Remember, I don't sleep anymore. I've replaced it with massive ingestion of coffee and vitamin injections. I just don't sleep.
Okay.
You know, too much sleep too soon, we call it death.
Well, you clearly don't need the anti-sleep pilot then. So I don't know why we're highlighting this gift.
Well, but Michelle, could you use the anti-sleep pilot?
I could. It would drive me nuts.
What is the capital of Belarus?
Is it an African or a European swallow?
So I don't get how it – so how does it know you answered them correctly? I don't understand.
It's a computer.
Well, where is the punch card slot?
No, it uses reels of tape, 2-inch tape.
Mm.
But it's compact.
Any insight, Michelle?
Apparently not.
How do you input the answers?
It doesn't – I can't really tell because it just looks like it has like an up and a down button, and so maybe it gives you multiple choice.
This looks like something for Dick DiMartello.
There you go. That's true.
Yeah.
He never drives. He can't drive, I don't think.
Excuse me?
He just doesn't own cars. He owns boats. He drives. He gets press cars, I think.
All right. Do you drive a boat?
Yes.
You skipper.
You pilot a boat, technically.
You pilot it. Okay.
Or helm a boat.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Or sink a boat.
And you could actually use this on a boat.
You could.
A boat.
To keep you from having – I mean, because the truth is that the number of injuries and deaths every year – from people falling asleep at the helm in boats around the world is devastating.
Devastating.
You know, there's that Titanic thing hanging over our heads.
It's we always remember it, even though it never really did happen. It was all done in a giant warehouse. It was a simulation, but
Southern California.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It was in the Spruce Goose warehouse.
Titanic. Speaking of retaining water,
are you talking about me, Craig? I've been drinking. I swear.
What?
What? I've been trying to get my Pedialyte down.
Michelle, not everybody can carry that off, but on you it looks good. The miracle of a podcast, okay?
Audio. Yeah. So,
by the way, your voice is much taller over the internet.
She can speak Spanish.
The Spanglish.
The Spanglish, man. So, Ben.
Habla. Habla, y'all.
I know all of your words, Earthman, and how to use them.
Well, Ben, you have our final holiday gift guide here.
Actually, Eric does. I just didn't put his name in.
Well, you had me confused.
Bless
there for
my
a
soul.
Second. Eric, what do we have here?
So if you have an older car that does not equipped with iPod connection, such as the Ranger.
Or the Focus.
Yes. Or perhaps the G8.
It's got an iPod. Well,
analog.
Wait. It's got a an aux jack.
It's a jack, yeah.
Aux jack.
Yeah, what?
It's got an innie.
Bro 5A in the chat says Miss Motormouth is hot. She's just being modest.
Sorry. He's a little obsessed.
Is there such
He's
thing
been
as,
leaving photos on your car.
I'm sorry, Michelle. Is there such a thing as a little obsessed by definition? It's like saying semi-unique.
Kind of pregnant.
Be nice to my fan.
You've got so many fans. We have fan two, Jim, of the show.
Fan two?
Fan singular. We have many fan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Eric.
So this little thing that plugs into your lighter socket acts as a Bluetooth transmitter so that you could use the Bluetooth streaming from your iPhone, because the iPod doesn't have Bluetooth connection, to go into your FM radio so that you could listen to your music without having to physically connect wires. So
doesn't iPod Touch have streaming to Bluetooth?
I thought it did.
I think it. I think it touched does.
I have it. I have a 64 gig touch, and I can't tell you if it has Bluetooth. I've had it for a year and a half almost. So.
So you can tell how up I am on my iPods. I'm wearing a second generation iPod shirt.
With all those buttons on it.
I don't know what to do with those buttons.
Exactly. So, but the idea is that the Bluetooth goes from that to the little dongle thingy here that plugs into your cigarette lighter, and then that's the Bluetooth transmitter that broadcasts to an FM band, so you don't have to have wires connecting anything. It just does it through the ether.
Well, is this – oh, I see. There's a USB.
And you have to turn your radio to like one or two selected frequencies that hopefully there's not an FM station on.
Yes, exactly.
That's always exciting.
Because there are other versions
of these here in Southern California because you drive from one town to another and there's always some dang community college on that station.
I think it's Griffin, the one. I could go to Catherine's car and look. But it actually has a button in it where it scans and finds like the least strong signal in the area and then just goes to that one so you can then tune your radio to that. So for 15 minutes or so, you can actually hear it.
Yeah,
so.
And transmit to other people who may be on that same frequency.
Exactly. Huh? I'm trying to interpret the static. There's a message in
there.
It's
like the old days of Mr. Microphone driving down the road. With
Save!
Hey, good luck.
Well, Eric, thank you for that find. Ben, thank you for finding it. Interesting car-themed gifts for you for our holiday gift guide. So definitely, again, hit the links, plural, more than one, in the show notes on roundaboutshow.com. You can check out all of those wonderful gifts. And with that, Jim, do you hear that? Do you hear that sound?
I hear something, but I don't know what it is. It's the blood in my...
Come on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
Oh, I thought Bingo was going to be run over and turned into tread bait. Darn.
No, not this time. It is time for another installment of our stupid car trick. And we thought you might have some valuable insight into this particular story. Well, not so much a story as it is a video, which, again, you will be able to view on our website in the show notes.
But, of course, I can't because it's a flash site.
I can get the oh-no from the back.
I can sort of lean over and yes.
So what
Get
we've got
cozy.
Here. So we've got on the street, streetfire.net is a website that hosts all kinds of car-themed videos. They have a six-wheeled sports car.
The Covini. I've seen pictures of the Covini before. I had no idea that it actually ran. It looked like it was a giant, one of those foam core cars put together. And it looks like it kind of steers.
It gets an approximation of direction, it looks like. But why would they do six wheels? Why two in the front? And is it like the Octocar?
No, there's a logical reason to do a six-wheeled car, believe it or not, for aerodynamics. Mm-hmm. Because you could theoretically use much smaller diameter tires and have more the same contact patch as a large wheel or tire. The problem with it is that this car doesn't have the body especially low to take advantage of the reduced frontal area for having the low wheels. There was a six-wheeled Tyrrell Formula One car that was very successful, actually.
The P34. It was so good it was outlawed.
Exactly. But the thing is the wheels were – they used 10-inch diameter wheels and very low section tires, and it was to get the tires out of the airflow. And if the Covini did it for that reason, it would make sense. But in fact, the car has fenders that are not that much lower in the front than they are in the rear. So it's simply – so when you drive up, people go, wow. And then the next thing they say is, that really looks like crap.
It's going to understeer like a son of a bitch, too.
Not necessarily. Because it depends on how much contact patch you have and how you have the thing you have to do with – there's a function called Ackerman for steering, which means that when you turn the wheel, you actually have a different angle on the inside wheel than the outside wheel, so the car goes in a proper arc. Well, here the front and rear wheels are in a different position relative to the steer point, so they have to be different yet again. It has the disaster to be a real nightmare from a tire wear standpoint, and not only that, you'll be replacing extra tires.
But awesome.
It's a gimmick. I think Panther also built one six-wheeled car. They used a Tornado or – no, it was a Cadillac 500 cubic inch Eldorado drivetrain, and it was the mid-engine Eldorado – it was the front-wheel drive Eldorado when they put the engine in a mid-engine position and the thing had six wheels. It was a modern Panther. It was very funky looking. And they built – I don't think they built more than two or three of them, and I think it might have been just one car.
So not such a good idea then.
It depends. From a functional standpoint, no, not really, but it definitely has some sort of eye cred. People will notice your car. You know, that's like having a suit that's actually made out of flexible neon and a 2,000-volt transformer that has to be run around your body. So if you get wet, it will be a happy ending for you. Not unlike the sparkles in your natty sport jacket you're not wearing, Craig.
It got too hot.
Well, I can understand why, because that's a lot of metal in it.
Oh, 1977 yes. was the year, because the Panther was 1977, just like the Tyrrell F1 car, yeah. At least according to the Wikipedias.
No, but the point is they did it because of the Tyrrell Formula 1 car.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So are we going to see any more six-wheel cars in racing, you think?
Highly unlikely. In Formula 1, they banned it.
What about 8 wheels? Odd number of wheels.
I think an odd number of wheels is the one I'd be interested in, is the five-wheeled car.
The fifth one could act as a rudder, right?
That'll come from Morgan, probably.
There it is. That's the Panther. That's the Panther 6.
Panzer Kampfwagen 6, the Tiger.
Panther War Machine.
Yes.
Six-wheel cars. The funny thing is that after Tyrrell did their Formula One car, Arrows built a six-wheeled Formula One car that had 4 wheels in the back.
See, I was going to say the dually race car.
Exactly, and this one was they built one of them, and their idea was they would be able to put all the power down. But the problem was they had way more adhesion than the power, and the thing didn't accelerate very well because of the rotational mass. It was a classic example of like physics 101. There are things that you know are bad ideas from the start. And then there are things that you can probably make work. You know, the horror of a three-wheeled car is when you're driving in your three-wheeled car, and if the two wheels are in front and one in the rear, it's pretty stable, actually. They can corner pretty well. The problem is when you're driving
Reliant
along.
Reliant Robin.
Well, no, you're driving along, and suddenly you see something in the road, and you straddle it. You have problems, okay? You have big problems. And six-wheeled cars, it's let's put it this way. It's entertaining, but boy. It's the same reason that, you know, dogs lick themselves.
Well, there you have it, folks, straight from the mouth of Jim Hall.
So to speak.
But I meant that in the nicest way.
In a happy ending way.
The mouth reference was too much.
What?
Dogs licking themselves and then mouth and, I'm sorry.
Well, it could be a happy ending for the dog. You never know.
There you go.
It usually is, isn't it?
I have no idea. I don't know. Right? I don't know.
And now it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Change the subject. Change the subject. We're too close. Did Jim snarf a little bit there?
I almost aspirated a mouthful of tepid coffee from my nose, which would have been immensely entertaining to all of the people who could see it.
And painful for you, probably.
No, coffee's all right. Arabica doesn't. I once had a chicken salad sandwich, and my evil twin brother made me laugh. And I think celery was just horrible. I don't want to get into
all that fiber, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a Brillo pad.
But, you know,
Ben, you know what to do.
Been there.
Here it comes! Internet's most exciting podcast game.
The fantastic prizes! The fabulous
10-minute-ish
prize is
correct. Insert contestant name here.
Come on down!
I get to be Bob Barker. First time ever! Jefferson Ross, as you know, usually does the Price is Correct, but unfortunately he is... Well, I'm not sure where he is. He's in marriage counseling, maybe. I don't know. He's not here right now, and that's all that matters.
He's off to Darkcast in Miami.
Yes. So, Jim, we mentioned this to you, how this game show works. We'll do a quick recap here on the show in case some of our listeners are unfamiliar. Basically, what we do is we grab a selection of random, weird, or inappropriate vehicles, and you guys have the task of trying to get as close to the price of that vehicle without going over, hence the name The Price is Correct. So... The first vehicle that we have – well, before I get into that, we have to thank three of our fans. Merkel Reinhardt, who is in Bad Oldesloe, Germany, all the way in Europe, Jim. Can you believe that?
European world?
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Gosh.
Dave Foley, who is in Calgary.
Also known as Miradart.
Yes. Hey. And, of course, Mood Monster, William Frowley. No.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes. Mud Monster. So, the first vehicle up on the list, and Jim, you should be able to click on these and check them out. The first vehicle on the list is a 1957 Buick Century Caballero, I'm predicting.
Caballero, it was one of two hardtop station wagons offered by General Motors in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
The other was the Oldsmobile Fiesta.
I thought it was the Ford Fiesta.
The Oldsmobile Fiesta back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so we've got a beautiful car. It's red, it's white, it's fully frame-up restored. Beautiful, well, maybe not so much beautiful, but It's
spectacular.
There.
It is spectacular.
That's a spectacular car, yes.
That's amazing. That is a bit of sex right there.
So, let me just cue up the thing here.
Wait, I don't know what. Somehow, a four-door hardtop wagon never struck me as sexy.
I'm a mom.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, it is beautiful. A beautiful. Would you say that's cherry red, Ben?
That's candy apple red.
Candy apple red with a white lower. It, very nice. Frame up restored.
Metallic burgundy. With an interior that is the same set of two tones, white and darkish red.
Mm-hmm. Pillarless four-door hardtop. California car with a California title, very rare. Maroon with Dover white and a new matching interior. Engine is 364 cubic inches with just 99 miles on the clock since its total restoration. How much is this car worth?
You've asked an interesting question.
How much is the owner asking for this car? What is the opening bid on eBay? Should be micro. So we will start out with the
Caballero.
We'll start out with you, Jim.
Okay.
Jim.
You want the opening bid on eBay? Seriously? Because has anybody bid on it? And nothing's worse than having one of these cars that no one's bid on yet when you find it.
Yes. Nobody has bid on this one yet. So that should be a clue. As to the auction ends in 2 days and 18 hours. So, Jim. How much
is the buy it now price?
Yes. What is the buy it now price?
$37,500.
All right. Jim says $37,500.
Is that for the showcase or just for the?
We'll get into that later.
Okay.
Showcase showdown. Eric.
Jim's in the ballpark. I was going to think. I'll go with
$35,000. And Naran Joey.
I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to say this is someone that's disturbed with actually using Barrett Jackson, and they've decided to try to do it on their own, and they're going to go really high. So I'm going to guess $49,999.
$49,999. And Ben, since you can see it, give us a reasonably close guess without actually getting there.
I know exactly what this is, though.
Yeah, that's, you can't guess me knowing what it is.
Why are you doing this?
That was the joke, Ben.
Oh. $3.50.
Get it?
$3.50. Well, Ben certainly didn't go over.
No, he didn't.
Actual retail. Well, no, not exactly retail price. The buy it now price.
Asking price.
Asking price, $70,000. Our winner is Michelle Naranjo.
Have you ever wanted to visit Tajikistan? Well, guess what? You're going. You've just won a 4-day, 5-night, all expenses paid vacation to Dushanbe, the nation's lovely capital. Enjoy luxurious accommodations in one of Central Asia's top-rated 3-star resorts. Pack your bags.
Michelle, you are going to Tajikistan.
Woohoo!
And Jim, you...
I've been there.
Why? Have you... Is there...
You don't want to know.
It was in college, wasn't it? It's semester abroad.
The wild days.
Yeah. All right, so very, very good guesses, guys. The 1957 Buick Century Caballero... Our next vehicle. I picked this one because I want one.
I do too.
It's pretty freaking sweet.
It is, and I specifically want a 2603.
Well, this is the Tatra 603-2. Jim, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about the Tatra, because I'm sure you know all about it.
Yes, made by a company that was renowned in Czechoslovakia for making a rather effective machine gun. In World War II and before, Tatras started, they had a car called a Tatraplan, which was an extremely aerodynamic four-cylinder rear-engine car, air-cooled. This car has a 3-liter V8 rear-engined hanging out over the back. It has the vehicle, the vehicle dynamics of Grant's tomb.
You've driven one?
I have not. My evil twin has.
That bastard.
Exactly. My sentiments exactly. And they are absolutely spectacular cars. What's amazing when you see one is how big they are.
Are they big? They look large, but not.
They're far larger than you would think they are. And it was basically a car for the apparatchik and the members of the Politburo in the bad old times, this car. Mm-hmm. The post-war cars were basically for party people because they were obscenely expensive. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, Tatra would say, we should export to Europe. And so they'd sell them in England. And they would ask stupid money and no one would buy them. So the guy that decided the company would import them would go broke.
They got that V-Type 8 cylinder engine in the
back. V-Type 8 hanging out over the rear for, again, spectacular vehicle dynamics.
It's a Hemi V8, too.
That's right.
Well, what we've got here, this one's in a little rough shape. It's definitely a fixer-upper, but it looks like it runs and drives.
See, I look at this as a daily driver.
You're not afraid to take it out and get a little dirty, right?
Well, splash around. They've already done that.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to see if it's an early or a late one. You have to look at the rear end to see. The big split rear window with the chrome trim.
Yes.
It's a late Dash 2.
It's still sexy looking.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And there was a version of this car that only had three headlights in the front instead of four.
Wow. Michelle, what's a woman's perspective on the Tatra 603-2? Is this something you'd like to have in your driveway?
I love it. I mean, I love how it looks kind of rockety in the front, but then they put those little draggy wing things on the back. I think it's so cool. I love the split rear screen. I mean, rear window.
It's got a little fin, too, a prehensile, or not a prehensile,
yes.
A vestigial.
Well, that goes back to the Tatra Plan, which was the pre-war car, had a proper fin going down the back of it.
Mm.
And it was called a Stromline, which was Czech for streamline. And there are a bunch of Tatra fanatics in Europe because the cars are amazing from an engineering standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The last ones they built were actually designed by Bertone. And the car was as long as an S-Class Mercedes at the time. But still had a rear engine hanging out of the back.
And that's a bad idea.
Awful. Oh, it's just ghastly.
How was the engine itself? I mean, were they solidly engineered? I mean, were they reliable or junkers?
It was a classic example of a car that was probably pretty well engineered, but it was at the mercy of the materials that they built it out of in Eastern Europe. And it was, you know, they would build them
– pot metal.
With people. No, it's not that. They would build them for people who weren't going to complain about the cars. They're party guys. It's their company car functionally. So, you know, the guys that complained about it were the poor mechanics that had to keep them on the road. And tell me, swearing in Czech is pretty nasty.
Is it?
Yeah, oh gosh.
Well, so I'm confused. So why do it shows all this rust out on the rocker sort of sills and all that stuff. And the interior looks really rough. But every bit of anything that's silver on the outside is beautiful on this car.
Truthfully, Michelle, a lot of that was stainless steel trim. It was polished stainless steel.
Oh, very nice.
How do you know that, Jim?
I've seen them in person. And the thing is, there are other cars. A 59 Cadillac Eldorado, a lot of the bright work on the car is polished stainless, which mm-hmm. is one of the reasons the car was, you know, a premium material car. Polished stainless used to be what was used a lot of times instead of chrome because it was harder for – I mean, it didn't deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
Old chrome would pit. You had to get chrome polish or else it looked really bad. And this was a car that, again, think about who got them. Most of them were black and they had a driver that came with them,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yep. And then when the car was scrapped, so was the driver. That was
his
happy ending. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. So what – now, this is from our friend Mirko Reinhardt, and it's in Germany.
Yeah.
I want you guys to guess the price in euros.
Thanks for making this difficult.
Mehrwertsteuer not included, the German value-added tax.
Yes.
So, Michelle, you were the winner of the previous round. How much is this car going for?
Well, I'll give everyone a quick primer right now, or primer, as they would say. It's basically a kilometer per mile, pound, dollar right now. So
$1.62.
You broke my mind.
Yeah, mine too. Because I hate to tell you, I don't think that's quite right.
Jim is having a kernel panic.
It's what I use as a ballpark. It's
okay.
Really ballpark. And my ballpark's big.
I guess yes. Nobody gets a home run in it, right? Oh, she's married. That's right.
So, Michelle, what is your guess on this Tatra?
I'm going to say 15,000 euros.
15? That's a healthy chunk of money. 15,000 euros. Eric Tritko.
We're going in euros?
Yes.
5,700.
5,700 euros. Okay. And I don't know why I'm writing dollar sign and then euro after.
Wow.
Jim, what's your guess?
Eric's high. 5,500.
And the actual suggested sort of retail price.
See, the question is this a car that got into Germany through East Germany? Because that's how a lot of them got in there. They were used by the East German guys too, but... I'd love to know how it got there.
And Jim, you had it spot on. It is actually $5,500 euros.
Euro. Well, wait a minute. If it's dollars, I'm over.
Euros.
You just won a custom car bra for your Ford Fiesta, or as Jonathan Brown would say, Fiesta. Good thing it's a B cup. I mean B car. VA room. VA room. B. B. Get out of my way. JB's coming through.
You don't know how much we had to pay Stephen Hawking to come in here and do those voices.
I know, because he doesn't like doing voiceovers like this. You must have promised him that it was going to end up in, like, Family Guy or something.
Simpsons.
So, okay, yeah, but it takes that to draw him to do this kind of stuff. You know that.
5,500 euros is $7,271.28.
Not an unreasonable sum for a very unique car.
Tough car to restore.
I mean, this
is one of those cars, literally, that if anybody ever wanted to buy one, especially in the United States, where parts, forget it, you find the best one you can, and you bring it over here, and immediately, by shipping it over, you've probably halved its value.
You have to have Jay Leno's resources to be able to have one of these?
You have to have Jay Leno's resources to restore one here, yeah.
You're going
to
make everything, right?
No, you can buy the stuff, but you're going to have a guy in Europe buy it, track it over. There are cars like this. I would love to own a Tatra. I really would. But it's find the best restored car I can and then drive it as little as possible because, you know, with every mile.
Kilometer.
What was that snapping sound?
What?
No, when you're driving the car.
Oh. I'm sure it'll go. It'll be fine. It'll take care of itself.
Rattling the wheel cover. Oh, all the lug nuts have come off. You know?
Well, they're metric. They go on left ways.
No. I thought they went in straight. They were straight. It's like there's no right or left in Europe.
Because they don't want to offend anybody.
Exactly. That's Sweden.
So. Well, if it's straight, then it would offend all the gay and lesbian people.
Michelle's going to take exception to that.
That was like a cue for her to take exception to this. Nothing. She wasn't going to say a thing, you know?
No, she wasn't. Just bus Eric. No. All right, so our next vehicle is very special, and I'm confused about what it is. And Jim, I'm sure you can shed some light on it.
I got to see it. Hold on.
It is claimed to be Stalin's convertible.
Oh, it's a Ziz.
But I see Packard in the hood. I see Oldsmobile, and I see 42 Chrysler with the trim on the
fender. You should see is Packard.
Yeah.
The tooling for the 41 Packard was basically part of a lend-lease package along with P-39 Air Cobras to Russia.
Don't give me a P-39. She'll tumble and roll and dig a big hole. Don't give me a P-39.
During World War II. That was part of the lend-lease deal. Mm-hmm. They got the tooling for the car.
Hmm.
And they were built originally by Ziss, and then they were built by Zill as they changed sort of cooperatives that built automobiles in the Soviet Union. And the underpinnings for this car, this old Packard, went on to be the Zill that was – it was Ziss, Ziv, and then Zill.
Mortal enemies though, right?
No, it was basically as the company – as they would have new management.
As Stalin sent off people to the gulag, the company name changed.
Yeah, well, basically, yes. You know, the guy that ran it was unpopular. They moved the production at least twice that I know of because it moved to another facility. And the thing I loved about it – because Joe Steele, you know, Stalin is – so he was always Joe Steele to me.
Do you knew him personally?
Oh, no, he's just a friendly guy, you know? Yeah, hey,
just a
guy Joe Steele.
Hey, Uncle Joe.
Look at that guy's mustache. Whoa. but it was a Packard, in fact. And the underpinnings for it went on to become a car. They tried to modernize to be a mid-50s car. They did fins on it. When Khrushchev, the guy that slammed his shoe on the table at the UN, when he came over, they flew one of the ones that looked like – ironically, when they did their own design on it, the updated car looked like a 56 Packard. And it was a coincidence.
Was it like the B-29s they copied?
Exactly. You know, but it was and they apparently are very robust vehicles. Like most Russian cars are very robust because they were designed for an environment where you didn't want cars. And
the steppes.
No, Moscow.
Mm.
The city itself was just awful for automobiles.
Why?
The way the roads were maintained. Mostly heavy trucks run around that beat the heck out of them. Not a lot of cars.
Have you seen the roads in Michigan, Jim? I'm sorry.
You see, I'd like them more if I had a Zill to drive.
I would. It's got that down top ride, feather pillow ride.
Yeah,
know?
But the thing is, this was an evolved car. It had a top that was not like the Packard top, and so on. But
all right, it's so straight 8 under the hood, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Of the era, probably 150 horsepower.
Actually, knowing the Russians and their availability of fuel, we're probably talking about less.
So super slow.
Yeah. Well, it's
It's for cruising.
There's
it's
no traffic, okay, when Joe Steele's going out for his drive. There ain't no traffic, okay?
That's traffic has been murdered.
Or sent to the gulag, okay? Or just starved.
Gives a whole new meaning to where this traffic is murder, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And they probably just starved the other drivers, you know? Yeah. It took a while, but they knew he was going in this road, so you cannot eat if you're going to drive.
So, okay, you won the last round. What is Stalin's Ziz 110 worth? Again, in euro, because our friend Mirko Reinhardt found this. Again, Mervetstoya not included.
And the best part of it is this thing is actually restored.
It's beautiful.
I mean, it is in very, very good condition. I'm looking at the interior with what's probably acetate plastic parts, and they look pretty much. But it's Germany, and the Germans have this wonderful feeling about Russian cars. That €70,000.
€70,000.
Yeah, I'm probably low on that, but
€70,000 was a nice try, just like Michael Jackson tried to avoid children. What? Too soon?
No.
It comes with a throw rug in the back. I don't know if you noticed.
No! Is it got a throw rug? A lap robe.
An oriental rug. I'm sorry.
Is it Berber?
Berber? Well, if it were, would that affect your guess, Michelle?
Jim wants a do-over if it's Berber.
No.
Joey, what's your guess?
I'm going to say, are we doing this in euros or in dollars?
Yeah, this is in euros again.
Jawohl,
we're
in kilometers, I believe.
I'm going to go for 50,000 euros.
50,000 euro.
50,000.
Roundabout. Eric, what's it worth?
Not a clue. since Jim said 70 and he thought that was low, I'm assuming, I don't know if he's trying to redirect everyone else to the different direction.
$1.
No, 1 euro.
$1.60.
Yes, exactly. It would be 70,000 and 60 euro cents. Yeah.
I'll go 90 grand.
90K it is. The actual manufacturer suggested retail price.
Had no price because it was given to Joe Steele. It was just part of.
So you guys were way off. They're asking 650,000 euro for this car.
Gee.
That makes Eric the closest.
Yes.
At 90K.
Socket, draw back.
Is that a question?
I've heard stories about if you say his name backwards, what happens? You basically will call – if you say the name Alex Trebek backwards, it will suck you into a negative dimension. You'll disappear from our mortal coil. It's terrifying.
It's like when Sauron got – you know, he lost the ring and he's like – no?
No, I don't –
not a Lord of the Rings thing.
No, not a Lord of the Rings thing.
My God.
It's like a pun.
This is the first nerd reference you've missed out on.
Thank you.
He's never coming back now.
I am invincible!
I don't even know what to say. Meow about
it's
that.
It's pretty, that car.
It is pretty, and it comes with a rug.
Is the rug included, or was it just – because it's not in all the pictures. There's one picture without the rug.
Maybe they wanted to show you the carpet underneath was good, and someone's dog didn't give birth there. Staying in a rubber
did you look at the color of the carpet?
Well, not that it would really matter, but
– somebody's dog did give birth. They just spread it over the whole carpet, you know?
Sprinkle had puppies.
I sent Ben a link. There's actually a – which our fan Luke will appreciate this. There's a site called Russian Car and Truck Models that has a Ziz 102 open sedan with Stalin and driver for $199.
What happened – I noticed in the back seat it's got the robe cords. Why don't we have those anymore, Jim? Elegant and functional.
One out of two. Elegant. And functional, you couldn't grab them from the back seat. Did you see how much space there is there?
Yeah, it's kind of useless to have
them. It is kind of useless. And not only that, look at their jump seats. So there'd be people sitting facing Joe Steele. And he'd have to push them out of the car to grab the
– those are the human shields.
Exactly.
They didn't have
any
steel in the car. So
no, that's true.
They
know.
Surfs there.
But no one would even think about killing Joe Steele.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, our next vehicle on the list – is a 1965 BMW 700 LS Coupe found by our good friend Mud Monster.
And do I have to do this one in yen?
Potentially. I can't quite tell. Jim, I was hoping you would be able to.
By the way, I'm interested in the Corvair in the background.
Takanishi.
I'm not seeing the Corvair in the background.
If you look behind the building, there's the white car coming out.
No, that's not a Corvair.
That's not?
No. It's a Nissan Skyline.
Oh.
Not a G.
How can you tell?
Oh, yeah. The decklid isn't big enough.
Well, it's not the thumbnail. It's big here. That's a Nissan Skyline.
Oh. The back. As soon as you said that, I realized that the back end wasn't large enough.
Yes.
1965 BMW 700 LS Coupe. I can't read any of the things, so I'm going to cheat here and jump over to the other sheet. so I can maybe read something about it. It is for sale in Shizuoka, Japan. Stock number 06008344A2009.
That's helpful. Make a note of this.
Hey Ben, if you scan the QR code with your iPhone, does it translate everything?
It is left-hand drive with a manual transmission, a 0.7-liter gasoline engine, two-wheel drive.
4-speed manual, by the way.
Okay. Good to know. How much is this car worth, Jim, or are you reading the Japanese?
I'd say 25,000 yen. Sorry, 25 million yen.
And what is that in dollars?
With the yen now, what is the yen now? It's 80 what now.
What are they asking for this car in dollars? I'm sorry, I should have specified first.
But Japanese yen. How much? 25 million?
25 million.
What would that be in Japanese?
25 million yen.
No, in saying it in Japanese. Ni san shi.
No, it's not. It would be, first of all, the Japanese counting is as crazy as French counting.
Don't they use different counting methods for different shapes of things?
Yes.
Soixante dix-neuf.
Exactly. Unless you're Belgian. In which case you say it wrong, in Japan Nihon Nippon depending upon what you're counting. Bottles are Nippon. I never understood that.
Anyway.
Two bottles. What does it work out to?
25 million Japanese yen is $297,849.53.
Eh?
Wait, 25 million?
25 million. One, two, three. One, two, three.
In dollars,
yes.
Jim.
2.5 million.
$29,784.
Is that you're going to stick with that?
Yeah.
$29,000 and change.
Yep.
Whatever.
$29,800, call it.
All right. Eric, what is your guess?
Good hustle, everyone.
I thought
he's out of here. He's out of here.
I could have sworn he said good asshole.
You can't say that on the internet, can you?
I don't know. The internet police will come.
All right. So I'll go... $35,000.
$35,000, and I'm retarded. $29,000.
Can't say that on the internet.
For Jim, $35,000 for Eric and Joey. Your guess.
I'm gonna say 30 million yen.
In dollars.
In dollars, that's about
$300,000.
No, that's too much.
30 million?
Sorry, your votes are tabulated, $300,000.
350. 30
that's
million?
That's not fair. That is not fair. I'm sorry, Craig, but that's not fair.
Okay, Michelle, what is your guess in dollars?
I'm going to guess in dollars, $75,000.
$75,000?
No! Because they're crazy, you know, yep. Collectors of these things there.
And of this round, I am actually the winner because you are all over. Michelle,
you can't
you
go cool. over now?
No, if the price is correct.
Jim, this is my game show.
But if the price is correct, yes. It's not the price is right. The price is correct. You, when you use a trademark name?
We Bill used the Goodson. Trademark song. Yeah.
Let me tell you.
It
Goodson
was altered.
And, Goodson and Todman will be all over you like a bad suit.
The price they're asking for this in Shizuoka, Japan, $26,580. You were all over. Although
Jim.
The closest
Jim.
Would have been James.
Congratulations. You've just won the latest in fruit-based computing technology married to super sweet awesomeness. It's an Apple Newton installed in the dash of your brand spanking old 1999 Mitsubishi Eclipse. H.O.T. Hot, Jeffrey. Now back to you.
The price they're asking
Craig,
for it.
That is.
The price they're asking for it is 2,580,000 euro. Or,
yuan.
Yen.
Oh. Do, do, do.
Yep. It's the problem of being able to read Japanese.
Well, read it in Japanese then. What does it say, Jim?
Too many. It's too expensive for that car. I'd rather have the GT in the back, the Skyline GT in the background, even though it's not a GTR.
What about that soda dispensing machine with the monkey inside?
Well, is it a soda dispensing machine or is it perhaps dispensing soft drink Kalpis?
Or
a frozen crab.
What about a deodorant dispenser?
No, my favorite was the in Kyoto, in the little market, there was this bank of vending machines. And one of the things said Blick Pack. And it had sake in a brick pack. cold sake is great. You know, I got that and kind of...
On the train?
No, this was actually walking around the market. The open market. It's like, yeah, this is... Ooh,
I'm dying of thirst.
No, I like this now. Well, it's a lot more interesting.
I'll go look at some wooden sandals and umbrellas.
This was at Takey's.
Takeys? Yeah, is that a place Takeys. You're familiar with?
Not at all, but I just love the sign that says Takeys.
And well, that's not a good name for a dealership.
It's don't
a
mind if I do.
T-A-K-E-E-Y-S. You know, it's Takeys.
Please calm down to Takeys. We have a good deal.
Oh.
I bet they have a lot of vending machines there.
Oh, yeah.
They sell the soiled undergarments, I understand.
Yeah, and you can buy pets in vending machines. Yeah.
Tamagotchi.
No. Real like little cats and dogs live from vending machines. They come out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can buy earthquake gear. Like if there's an earthquake, you can get protective hood for the earthquake. You go down to the machine and you feed.
Because that's going to – a protective hood is going to stop splinters of
– And you pay for it by going click, click, click.
Exactly. Or you just show your phone to it and there's one of those three-dimensional barcodes and it's like, mm-hmm. Wow.
And I noticed that it has the QR code there at the bottom, which is so bizarre to me. I mean, this is like an ongoing thing with me where I'm not understanding. QR codes are useful in print media. Why do they put them on websites? Because you're going to sit in front of your computer and, like, shoot it with your smartphone.
Michelle, what if you have the iPhone and you're looking at it?
But why would you want to go to that exact same site on your iPhone when you're on your computer?
You're missing the point. This is Japan, okay? And we're talking about technology. Have you seen any of the phones they have in Japan, the little phones you'll see people using for texting? And they are the size of the width of a cigarette package. And these little fingers are kind of going – the phones are terrifying, the tiny phones. I'm amazed they don't litter the ground because people – they drop out of your pocket. You never know.
They're disposable.
Nothing in Japan is disposable except human life.
What's how they got to the harbor?
Which harbor?
Pearl.
Oh, I thought you meant Tokyo Bay.
No.
Because, you know, Godzilla lives in Tokyo Bay and they
not
keep it
Minamata
very quiet.
Not Minamata Bay?
No.
That wasn't like the Wizard of Oz for Japan?
Oh, the Wizard of Oz is, you know, I mean, please, you know. That movie,
stay
nobody.
On target. We're too close. Stay on target.
And that's a transition.
Wow.
We're moving on to our showcase showdown now.
Uh-oh.
So,
so who is in the showcase showdown?
You're all in the showcase showdown. Because what we're doing here for the showdown, we've got two vehicles. Two very vehicles.
No
and your
kidding.
Job is to pick which one of these is more expensive. I'll read the first option. Let me just make sure. First option is a green 1994 Dodge Caravan minivan with 118,000 miles on it. It's green. And
what engine? Which engine?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
But we're going to assume one that's not so good. Because they were all.
Well, at least it has an engine.
The other option, a little bit old, a little bit more vintage, 1983 GMC Jimmy. It's black with a gray interior. The interior is in excellent condition. It's a rolling
Chelsea. It's a rolling Chelsea.
Chelsea. No motor or trans. Two-in fiberglass cowl induction hood, fiberglass roll pan, ready for V8 swap, motor mounts included, asking blank. Without the hood, must sell.
So wait, the guy talks about it having this cold air induction hood, and it doesn't come with that?
No, exactly.
No, it hasn't got an engine. Let me get this straight. It hasn't got an engine, and it hasn't got an air induction hood that he's selling it. He's trying to make you buy it with it. Okay?
Is he asking extra for the wheels?
If you don't have the engine.
Is he asking extra for the wheels and tires?
He's certainly not asking extra for paint.
No, you see, you say that, but I'm telling you, that's one of those. That's murdered. That's why they do the matte black paint. It's very expensive now. Okay, that's deluxe. Okay,
I just saw a Caliber in matte black the other day.
And yeah, does it not look indescribable?
Absolutely.
It does come with motor mounts, Jim, and it is ready for a V8 swap.
Ow, ow!
Sorry, I'm just getting a little excited.
Simmer down. Okay, so which of these two vehicles is more expensive than the other? We are going to start with you, Eric. Give us a guess-a-roo.
I will take the GMC for the win.
GMC? Eric says GMC is more expensive. Michelle.
Hello. Nice try. So close. We won't hold it against you. Now get out.
Any guess on what they're asking?
On what they're asking?
Eric. Well, I know. We're going to do both. Guess, Eric.
$1,200.
$1,200. Michelle. Which one is more expensive?
I'm going to say that the Jimmy guy is asking more, probably, unfortunately.
And how much do you think he would be asking?
I think he's probably asking 1,800.
Okay, and Jim?
I'm going to actually think that a car that can move under its own power, maybe not very well, is the potential for somebody asking more money for it. At first blush, that seems the logical way to do it. But the thing is that by comparison to GMC Jimmys with cowl induction hoods, you won't
put you
get
down for the GMC.
Yeah, that plain and simply, it just, you know, I mean, those vans clutter the ground. But these GMC Jimmys without engines in matte black with a fiberglass hood, you won't get. Now, that's a rare vehicle, okay? And as we all know, rarity increases value.
Okay. So how much is the value?
Let's see. The interior, if you were to get the interior from year one.
It's an excellent, it says.
Well, see, it's selling the
which means price somebody's dog did, in fact.
Give birth in it, yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's cranberry red. No, it's gray and it's
our
gray.
Our Ben's shirt, bro.
Okay, anyway. $900. U.S. We're talking U.S. dollars, right?
$900. Yeah, okay. $900. So, actually, as a matter of fact, you guys are
we're all high.
You're all high. Yes, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Craig. I always wanted to be high.
So the actual answer is that they are asking. You're all
$600.
No, they're asking $700 for both vehicles.
Oh, you get them both? So you
No. Each, but they're both asking $700. Although, if you click on the links, you can see those yourself in the show notes there. But they're both $700. However, trick question. The Chrysler minivan is for sale in Canada. Therefore, it is worth less. Therefore, you are all winners.
Actually, that's not necessarily true.
Oh, Canadian dollar's not parity now.
Has it gone back down below?
I think it's just under.
And Canada.
$700 for both of them. Which one is it, Eric?
Oh, man.
Dude. $700 Canadian is $693.68.
I hurt myself.
Oh, no, that's Chatty Cathy. Never mind.
So, ding, MacBook. Ding, ding. You are all winners. Congratulations.
Yay. But who is the overall winner? Who's the mostest winner of them all?
Congratulations. You just...
Oh, sorry. Congratulations, as I was saying. I mean, the computer.
Well, you're actually... It's a tie between James and Michelle for winning.
Co-champions!
Congratulations. Woo-hoo. You just won the title of Honorary Roundabout Colonel, the highest civilian accolade given out by the podcast.
We salute you!
I'm invincible! No, I'm not, because Michelle also is invincible, so I can't say that.
Co-colonels!
You are both honorary roundabout colonels. Like
I'm about to have a colonel panic.
Like Dr. Stephen Hawking just said, it is the highest civilian accolade given out by roundabout.
By so far and away.
We will get your photos after the show for a news piece.
Well, don't you have my photo?
In that particular garb, yes, that we got to earlier. But, yes. So that will conclude. The price is correct for this week. Michelle is choking on something, I think. It's a hairball.
Are you okay, Michelle?
No. Henry was opening the, you know, the pocket doors into the living room again.
Are they made of fur?
What are pocket doors? I'm in the house. I'm in the house. I don't know what a pocket door is.
It's like a stitched house. She's
it's
very
like a hot pocket.
Yeah, it's a Victorian house, and it's those like sliding doors that go into the walls.
Isn't that Japanese? No.
From the parlor into the living room.
The parlor, right?
A Murphy bed, you're saying.
No, that's not a Murphy
bed. What about absinthe? That was Victorian era.
Oh, my God. My mom gave me the history of absinthe it's a book last year for Christmas. It was the most fascinating book.
Mm-hmm. But you really wouldn't want to drink it.
No, it doesn't sound good.
It's awful.
It's licorice.
Even the good absinthe? Or there's no such thing as good absinthe.
I've
had bad absinthe, so I know what you're saying. But
you know, it's like saying to me, it's like saying good Coors beer. Okay, and that one I always liked was Coors Light.
Blue Moon is made by Coors.
I don't drink beer.
But if I did, I'd drink Dos Equis.
You haven't exploded yet?
It will drive you mad. The girl of Ipanema, from Ipanema in an elevator will drive you mad. That's why when you're in a foreign country,
yes,
and if somebody walks in and they're speaking English, you look at them and you go, no matter what country it is, you say, you are American?
You and your brother, didn't you tell a story where you and your brother would do that in an elevator or something?
Oh, we did something else.
My evil half brother.
In the elevator. I can't remember where it was. And Bob, you know, the guy already, because nobody looks at anybody in an elevator. So the guy's looking up at the thing, and my brother says, and then by 11:30, we had the entire Volkswagen covered with mayonnaise. And the guy's eyes, you can see out of the corner of his eyes, he's going like. And then there was a little time we were in the elevator, and it pick up the conversation we weren't having. And I said, and, you know, like I said, it went off so easily. It's just amazing. And when it does, there's so much blood everywhere. It's the same thing. There are two people in the elevator, and they're like, they're looking at each other. They don't want to look at us. It's like, and, you know, it's hard to explain to their family. And
oh, my God. So that concludes The Price is Correct for this week, and it also wraps up the show. So roundabout for this week.
The show, she is finished? It's all done?
The husky woman
You're
is...
You done with me?
I speak English very well. You are English?
Por qué?
Who is your floor? I know elevator. I can work. See? Machine.
I will take spark plug. Now, Michelle Naranjo... Oh.
Caesar?
You love it. Michelle Naranjo, MissMotormouth.com, Miss Motormouth on Twitter, AutoBuyTel, Autotropolis Alliance. You're everywhere.
Open line on AutoLine, right. And every of course, Monday night. Roundabout show.
I'm sorry I didn't call him for AutoLine a couple of weeks ago. I had the number and everything, but...
She's spreading, like, on the internet, like VD at summer camp. Just everywhere.
Boy, you went to a better summer camp.
So, Michelle, what are you working on, and what can we look forward to from the Open Line program?
Ooh, next week. Gosh, we'll have Jim Hall on as a special guest. I guess we're heading down the hills towards the holidays. So.
Festive holiday Open Line. Let's talk about people that decorate cars by putting wreaths on the grills.
Mayonnaise. Ooh. Or trucks. Big
or the Rudolph noses.
Oh, please.
Or here we also get the antler ears. They replace their Lakers flags on their side windows with antlers.
Antler ears?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
It's tasteful. Well, right. You can get all that and a whole lot more on Open Line every Monday night. Right, Michelle?
That is so true, Craigie. We're looking forward to having you back on the show as well.
We'll have to see if I can fit it in my schedule.
Mike, can I borrow the wireless thingy?
Eric Tritko, Rumblestrip on Twitter, rumblestrip.net, WeBrides TV.
WebBridesTV.com, yes.
Oh, you always pronounce that wrong.
I thought it was WeBrides. That's why I haven't bothered looking at it. Like, you know, that's something for women.
Well, no, it's actually it's a mail order service.
Oh, you
Moldova,
mean like,
Ukraine
like
area.
Mail order. Like, no?
M-A-I-L.
No, all right.
Ship them.
This is
FedEx
the problem. You have many words that sound exactly the same, but they have very different meaning.
Homonym,
you know?
Right?
I don't know this word. It's not the part of what I know.
In my country, we drive on the sidewalk.
Well, you know, in Karanjovia, a realistic sounding but totally artificial country, Ivor Pranic is our government leader.
And the national color is rust. So, Eric Tritko, what are you working on this week? Anything exciting?
No, actually, no. Sadly, no.
Nothing?
No.
He's catching up on his drinking.
there is that.
It takes time.
Well, he's got to build up his tolerance for when I come in for the auto show next month.
Oh, you should come and have an emergency protocol 417. It's the most delicious drink on the planet.
Sounds awesome.
It is.
I'll find out later. No, seriously, I got nothing but the normal stuff going on plus the new consulting gig. So, you know.
And last but certainly not least, Mr. Jim Hall, 2953, correct? It's not 2,953.
2953.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you what that means because I don't care.
I won't tell you.
thank you.
I don't want to know.
Thank you for...
2953 Analytics. We got the number, but not the name. Well, great.
It's close. Do you have a website where people can go see your analytics?
Clients, nobody else. Mm-hmm. And if you're clever, you could find it. But so far, nobody has bumbled into it trying to look for it. It's great.
Well, nobody's clever then.
No, there are people that are clever, but they try to avoid me.
Mm. What are you working on that's exciting that you can share?
I'm making a mountain of the skulls of my enemies to put in the front yard of my house as sort of a message to all my neighbors.
Jim the Decapitator.
No. blanched in the skull over the summer in the sun.
Blanched. Dipped quickly in boiling water.
Boiling water and then left to.
Oh, I thought we were talking Golden Girls.
No.
Sorry.
Rue McClanaville.
Yes, I have stuff happening. Stuff is happening.
Have you driven any vehicles lately that are exciting?
I have driven some very interesting vehicles.
And he can't tell you about those either?
No, there's one I can't talk about, but of the interesting stuff. I'm quite pleased, actually, with the Q5 with the 4-cylinder and the 8-speed automatic.
It works really well.
2-liter turbo?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because there was a time when Chevrolet offered basically an 8-cylinder automobile with a 2-speed automatic.
In the 50s?
In the 60s, too. Power Glide was a 2-speed auto, so you'd have a 283 full-size Chevy. And here is sort of the other thing going that direction, and it's a 4-cylinder car with an 8-speed automatic. And it's, you know, if you had an 8-cylinder car with a 16-speed automatic, now that would really be an interesting piece of engineering.
Give Mercedes 3 years, they'll do it.
And
we have to have more speeds!
Cafe.
More is better.
Works great.
Is this the Q5 that they introduced at the LA Auto Show and neglected to actually show at the LA Auto Show?
I think that's the one we're talking about.
Jim has the inside baseball inside line.
Wow.
Insider from the inside. Anyway, thank you for joining us.
A pleasure.
Jim. We appreciate it. And of course you can...
Warning. Yeah.
Would you answer that
incoming
again?
Incoming message.
Pick up the call.
You.
Just let it go to voicemail, Ben. It'll be fine. Who called in now?
You there. Discharge the caustic vapors.
Somebody open the airlock.
Please insert $3.25.
You wanted it to go to voicemail, so I have to look up the voicemail sound effect.
Well, what are we playing?
There's a voicemail sound effect?
Of course.
Mark it, Ben, so you can chop this out for our unfortunate MP3 listeners.
Oh, good point. What happened to it? What happened to our wonderful voicemail?
Doo-doo-doo.
Now just roll the message.
Hey, guys. Jonathan Brown. I just want to tell you, great show. You guys are awesome. Can't even think, never would be able to think, I should say, of a question that would stump Jim Hall. Jim Hall of... 5'9"-8". Is that it? I'm so sorry. Analytics. I apologize if I got the numbers wrong.
He went to the Craig Cole School of Podcasts.
I mean, he's the man of the hour. He's great. I can't wait to catch the show later. And thank you very much.
He's calling from the past.
Jim, one question, not a stumper. Do you think the C7 Corvette is going to have a dual clutch transmission? How about the ATS-V coupe from Cadillac? Dual clutch? Yes or no?
Dual clutch.
Thanks, guys.
It's not done yet.
I know, I realize. Dual clutch in the near term is not right in the plan for General Motors. They got some work on it, but it should be the only transmission in the next generation ZR1. That's a radical thing, but it should be the only tranny they offer in the car. Transmission.
Okay.
But at the moment, that's not in the plan, unfortunately, because it is really the gearbox they need for the car. It would be just great.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it for the Vette, even though it's a transaxle, you won't be doing it for the ATS-V, and it needs it. It would be great.
They're just a little behind the curve. Other projects, other irons in the fire.
You understand dual clutch. The reason you do dual clutch is you've got a big manual business, and you can do an automatic using a lot of the manual tooling.
Mm.
And GM isn't in that position. They don't even build their own manuals for those cars. Mm. They're outsourced. So.
What are you cycling through your phone for?
Oh, I'm trying to find something here, and I can't. You know, this thing has like 9,000 sounds on it.
Speaking of finding something you can't, here's the Roab answering machine. That's why I couldn't find it. It's an answering machine. We're not high-tech enough for voicemail.
You have reached the voicemail box for the Roundabout Podcast. This is Ben. Jesus Christ, and this is Craig.
And we're either podcasting...
or probably trying to avoid you.
So leave a short message.
And we might call you back if we feel like it.
Have a great day.
Always a flair for the dramatic.
Yes, Basil. Watch us live on our website, roundaboutshow.com, every Friday evening, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, or roughly thereabouts, 3:30 p.m.
Eastern Time Zone.
Traveler Jim gets that.
Oh, yeah.
Every 30 minutes at Metro Airport, you get Detroit, Michigan, or Eastern Time Zone. Friendly lady screaming at you in Japanese.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday evening. Join us, won't you please? Leave us a number on our Google Voice account. You can call us at 1-559-ROAB-411 in numbers. That is 1-559-762-2411. Jim, please feel free anytime to give us a call.
Okay.
We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow, as well as Facebook. Easy enough to find. Facebook.com/roundaboutshow. And we're working on getting on a page up on Friendaroo. Haven't done that just yet. But if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't, you can subscribe on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace.
It's free on both.
Indeed it is. And with that, I would like to thank all of you out there for listening, and I invite you to please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Well, that's the show, everyone.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope we were.
I had a good time.
Did you, Jim?
I did. I had a really good time. I like that a lot. This is more fun.
Michelle sounds pretty.
She does. Her voice sounds much taller on the internet.
And less masculine than I expected.
No, I didn't say that. and not that. I wasn't even thinking it, darling. So don't let him put one of them bad ideas in your head.
I saw him looking at the microphone.
Yeah, the microphone. I put my eye on the microphone there, and it.
Now we're going to get pink eye the next person that uses it.
They'll get pink mouth. What's going on?
It's all crusty at the corners.
How repulsive.
Jim, did you know that the founder of the Raelian cult is a former French automotive journalist?
You're joking.
I wish I were.
Ooh. Ooh, cool. But actually French as in Ville de Paris and all that stuff?
He had a magazine called Auto Pulp.
Auto Pope?
Like the Pope? Pope-mobile?
P-O-P. But I'm sure they said Pope.
Auto Pope. Auto Pop. Auto... No, they say Pop. Because it's still there. It's... well, never mind.
It's a cornucopia of people.
So to speak.
No, the internet's a cornucopia. It's tubes. You know that, don't you?
No, cornucopia is basically...
It's curved, but it's also got...
it doesn't have an opening one end.
But it has tubular structures.
No, I don't think so.
I agree to disagree.
It is easy to learn to speak with the electronic larynx.
Don't do that around Michelle. She's going to get a little...
Oh. It's just our lot in life to suffer.
She smashed at the spice mines of Kessel.
Oh, they've encased him in carbonite. He should be quite well protected. If he survived the freezing process, that is.
They put him in there with handcuffs.
I know, and then his hands are up. Because the carbonite dissolves handcuff material.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, because handcuff material then is actually made out of some recycled cellulose product. They don't use metal for that because all the metal was being used. Not the future, because that was a long... Yeah, but that was... They needed every bit of metal. You couldn't get metal cutlery in the Empire. It was all this cheap plastic crap, and it's because all the metal was being used to build the Death Star.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There, you know, every metal everywhere in the galaxy was being used to build the Death Star.
That's a lot of metal. Lot of percents, Jim.
The problem was when they did the Death Star was overweight. So it didn't get the mileage it was supposed to get. You know, it was slow. It didn't maneuver well.
Handling was bad.
And the truth is Palpatine took care of the engineer and the guys that did it for low bid. That was the problem. That's why the exhaust port was so big. You know, they could have just put a cover over the exhaust port for God's sakes. Okay, they could have.
But they cut corners.
They saved money. I mean, think about it. They had these giant bays with force fields that kept the air from rushing out. You think you could have done a force field to keep a proton torpedo from going in the port, but that would have cost more money.
You wouldn't have had a movie then.
Oh, you would have had a movie, but it would have ended very differently.
I think we can get started.
Yep.
Jim is recoiling in disgust.
It's a roundabout meme.
It's so repellently porcine.